Today's Survivor Cambodia preview show is sponsored by NatureBox. NatureBox sends me great tasting snacks once a month. It's the best day of the month, and I never share it with Nicole, because why would I when NatureBox is sending me the most amazing snacks on the planet? I've got my personal favorites, the dark cocoa nom noms, the pistachio power clusters. NatureBox has over 100 ridiculously delicious snacks to choose from. They get delivered right to your doorstep, and there's no chance of getting bored because they release brand new choices every month. NatureBox is full of flavor, but without any of the junk. Just fun, flavorful snacks made with ingredients that you can trust, and they've got a smart snack guarantee. So if there's ever anything you don't love, the helpful folks at NatureBox will replace it in next month's box. So right now, you can enjoy your first box of NatureBox snacks on them at naturebox.com/RHAP. So head on over to naturebox.com/RHAP right now to unbox a world of taste and possibility. That's naturebox.com/RHAP for your first box of tasty hand-picked snacks sent right to your doorstep. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's ready to preview all 20 second chance contestants, even Phoebe, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our 11th Survivor cast preview show between myself and the great First Lady of Podcasting. Here she is, and she is ready to go. She's been counting down the hours all day long for this. She can't wait. Here she is, Nicole Cesternino. Nicole, how are you?
Good. I've been reading my favorite book.
Yes, Nicole has been reading the BR rules for the last 2 minutes here, getting ready. What did you learn from the BR rules?
I've learned new strategies for my life.
Good, good. Nicole is right on it and ready to go. She is now familiar with all 20 of the second chance contestants.
Yes.
Ready to go. So lots of fun stuff here planned for you guys tonight. Live, we've got a babysitter.
We do.
She's here. She's watching the baby. We're ready to go. We're going to talk about all of these second chance castaways and give you our assessment of how far or how not far they're going to go in the game. We've got a really great live crowd going, over 800 people in the chat room here for this show, which is fantastic because it's almost like that was like an episode of the show just aired. So this is great. And we didn't do a great job of marketing this, so I'm very impressed. Kudos to you guys joining us live. For those of you guys who are not joining us live, welcome aboard in the archives, listening on the podcast, as probably most people who consume this will be doing as a podcast. It is Rob Has a Podcast. Nicole is at this point, what are you, just under 2 months ready to go with baby number two?
Almost.
Second chances for Nicole as well?
30 weeks today. 10 more weeks.
10 more weeks to go.
10-ish.
And Nicole, are you feeling good?
I'm feeling good. Baby's actually kicking right now. Baby's excited to be podcasting.
All right. Baby is excited to podcast. And so hopefully at no point, it was Labor Day yesterday. You didn't go into labor. We were happy about that.
Yes. It's not that kind of Labor Day.
All right. Nicole may need several bathroom breaks to get through all 20 people. That's okay. We're going to say that ahead of time.
If Spicing can do it, I can do it.
If Spicing
at least I have an excuse.
At least Nicole has an excuse. She doesn't have to go to the bathroom 2 seconds into podcasting.
Is that what they do?
Yeah. Sometimes. It's like, oh, we started the show. Oh, I need to go to the bathroom. It's like we just left the house. I told you to go before we got in the car.
Yes.
It's like, oh, but I didn't know. Anyway, so lots to come. Of course, we're going to be taking your questions from Twitter and on our YouTube channel at robswebsite.com/YouTube and on Twitter with the hashtag RHAP. I'll also be trying to follow along with you guys in the chat room. Obviously, I can't get to or respond to everything that you guys are saying in the chat, but I do try to keep an eye on the conversation. And if you want to have a question, make sure you get it in there. And then Scott St. Pierre will bring it up on the screen, and then we will comment on those things as we go along. Nicole, I'm very excited to be back to talking Survivor in the present. I've spent most of the summer recording The Evolution of Strategy with Josh Wigler. We finished off the final 10 chapters of recording over the last 13 weeks.
I know. I've actually seen him like 2 days in a row.
Yes. It's been very nice. It's been very nice. So most people, the summer ends and they go back to work. It's like the summer ended for me. I was like a lifeguard. I had like a second job.
You
all
are
summer.
Like a lifeguard.
I am like a lifeguard. Yeah. Well, if anybody's surrounding and drowning, then you know who to call. The podcast lifeguard.
Yes.
Maybe that nickname will stick around. Anyway.
Yeah, it sounds like it will.
All right, so we're getting ready to get into this. Nicole is coming off another hot pick where she picked the winner.
I did it again.
Of Survivor Worlds Apart last season. And Nicole is back with the magic again tonight.
I try to always bring the magic.
Yes, last season Nicole picked Mike Holloway.
Yes, and I won.
And she won. We did the happy dance for Mike Holloway.
Yeah. That's what we do, baby. We do the happy dance.
Yes. Nicole was doing the happy dance. Mike Holloway was doing the happy dance. Yep. And Nicole picked them. So one of these lucky survivors will probably be doing the happy dance themselves when Nicole picks them later on in the show.
But I go back and forth. Like, I'll have a winner and then I'll have like a second boot.
Yeah. In fairness, so this is the 11th time we're doing this.
Uh-huh.
Three times now, Nicole has picked the winner of the Survivor season, correct? You don't even remember.
I don't remember.
This is like the March Madness pool where the secretary wins. So you picked Fabio,
I believe. Kim.
Yes, Kim Spradlin. And you got cold for a while.
Yeah.
Then you came back with Mike Holloway.
Yes. But then I also won Big Brother.
Okay, one time.
Okay, but that's still, it's four winners. Four winners.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Anyway, so Nicole will have a winner pick later on in this show. We will also be live officially. We can tell you that I haven't announced what our schedule is for the premiere episode. Of course, the premiere of Survivor is the same night as the Big Brother 17 finale. And I was a little bit on the fence about what to do, but I made a call this week, probably around the same time that I was ranting about Big Brother double eviction this past Thursday. I made the call that this 2 weeks from tomorrow night, we will be live at 9:45 for Survivor Know-It-Alls. Myself and Josh Wiggler will be breaking it all down live after the Survivor episode. Big Brother finale recap will wait. I will do that at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 9:30 Pacific. So it's going to be a late night, 2 weeks from tomorrow night, September 23rd, as we get that all set. So Survivor Know-It-Alls in its regular, well, it's not its regular scheduled time slot, but it's where you would expect it to be. All right. So that's what's coming up then. And then, of course, after the second episode of Survivor, we're going to be at Caroline's in New York City for our annual or our seasonal Survivor live show.
I'm bummed I'm going to miss it.
Nicole will not be there, but yeah. I will be live in New York City with a bunch of RAJP listeners, and we'll be watching the episode live and talking about it on September 30th. So more on that to come, by the way. Still in looking for a place to move the after party to. If anybody has some good leads on that, definitely let me know.
Or a fairly large basement.
Yeah, basically, yeah. We need some place to bring a good 200 or 250 people after we do the show.
Probably
on September 30th. Well, who knows? All right. And of course, before we get into this, just want to take a reminder. It's the start of the Survivor season. If you're not subscribed to RHAP, really, why the hell not? Go ahead and you could subscribe on iTunes.
Up. Yeah. Sorry, I was reading that book.
Yes. No spoilers. RobIsAWebsite.com/iTunes for our iTunes feed. We are sitting at 992 ratings in the iTunes store. We'd love to get to 1,000. That would be a nice accomplishment
to get
to 1,000. You could leave us feedback and star ratings at RobIsAWebsite.com/iTunes, or for the RSS feed, you can go to RobIsAWebsite.com/RSS feed.
I still don't know what an RSS feed is.
That's fine. Or you could get the RHAP app, which allows you to listen to all of the back catalog of podcasts. Plus, you can listen to our audiobooks and Evolution of Strategy and post-show recaps and reality TV wrap-ups. You can get that for Android or iOS at RobIsAWebsite.com/app. All right, Nicole. You ready to jump into this?
So let's do this.
All right, here we go. So we've got so much material. It's like, it's such a weird season because there's so much more pregame press than there is on a normal season. But I feel like there's also at the same time, like a lot less stuff that came officially from CBS. Like if you go to CBS.com and you look at the cast on CBS.com, like it's still the cast for Survivor 30. Like typically, like you go on the CBS website
and they're like promoting it.
And that's where we start this. And we have Corinne. Like if we wanted to do the thing with Corinne this season, we couldn't even do that because that stuff's just not out there.
She'd have nothing to fill her binder.
She'd have nothing to fill the binder. So then we are going to go through all of these other things that we have between all of the stuff that was you know, there's a wealth of information from Dalton Ross, from Gordon Holmes, from our own Josh Wigler, who was out there covering everything for Parade Magazine. He's wrote these really long things. Nicole's really enjoyed reading all of the essays that Josh Wigler has written.
I actually have read, I'm not going to say all,
wow.
but I have read some of Josh Wigler's
articles. Wow, I can't
even
believe that.
I have.
Wow, mm-hmm. I can't believe that you would even sit and read any articles.
And they are very long.
That aren't on mommy Facebook groups.
Oh, those things are so funny, those people.
Anyway, yeah, Josh is doing a really great job with his long form stuff. You could read the archives of that at robiswebsite.com/parade, the stuff that Josh is writing. The other interesting thing that CBS is doing this year, so they've put very little on the website, but they have a video on each person behind the paywall on the CBS All Access.
With commercials.
There are commercials in between the videos. But if you have the Big Brother live feeds, you can go ahead and you can watch them. And I mean, it's the same as if they were on the CBS.com.
Mm-hmm. But you're already paying for them.
Yeah, but there are commercials in between. But if you already have the Big Brother live feeds, or if you want to sign up to get them, you could use our link at robinswebsite.com/CBS app. So that is where we're going to take a lot of the information from. So I haven't put a ton of stock in the pregame stuff. I've sort of been interested in hearing what people are saying, if they have like a major strategy shift. But I kind of feel like with most of that pregame stuff, it's sort of out the window once the bell rings. But I have been very interested to know who people are targeting, who people want to work with. Mm-hmm. That's the stuff I've been putting more stock in. And mostly I'm going off of what I have seen in my own scouting report of watching these people.
Okay.
All right. Nicole probably, on the other hand, is going to be leaning much more on what they've been saying or putting out there in their pregame press. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you didn't go back and study Kimmy Kappenberg in her first season or anything like that?
No.
Yeah.
Definitely didn't.
Okay. So we're going to get into all of that. Just a couple of quick things just to set up the game. Josh and I did our 7 Things You Need to Know About Survivor Cambodia podcast. Not going to rehash all of that stuff, but there were a few different things that they talked about there in terms of hidden immunity idols. Are you on top of all that?
I think so.
Okay, so hidden immunity idols are going to be hidden at challenges this season. They're not always...
And they're going to be like in the open.
Yeah, so they're going to be just in a spot where if you know where to look for them, like they'll be probably hidden a little bit, but it's going to be easy to find them if you know where to look.
Yeah, okay.
And then they're also not always going to look the same as the hidden immunity idols. So we're going to talk about things also here tonight where we're going to talk about these two tribes, which we have the Takeo tribe, Takeo tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the Bayon tribe. You like those names?
Not really.
Why not?
I didn't know how to pronounce the Takeo.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to talk about these two tribes. But just one interesting thing to note, and I'm not sure exactly how much stock we should put in these two tribes, at least seemingly to start the game, we're going to start with these two tribes. Gordon Holmes asked Jeff Probst about what's going on with these tribes.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Probst told Gordon Holmes, we're going to start with two tribes, and then we're going to switch it up a bit. We're going to try to make it tougher to keep alliances together. Doesn't mean that they won't, but we're going to try to keep the game a little uneven, and I think they want that. This is the entire Full Tilt Boogie experience. Whoa.
Ooh.
Have you ever had the Full Tilt Boogie experience?
No.
Okay, good. Right answer, right answer. All right, so we're going to discuss the players in the tribes that they're in because that's all we have
all
to
we
work off of. But I'm not sure exactly how long these tribes are going to stay the same before we have some sort of a swap.
I like when they mix it up.
You like to see a mix up?
Yeah. Especially in like an all-star season.
In an all-star season, you like that.
I do.
Well, typically, Survivor hasn't mixed things up too much in these all-star seasons. Basically, in Survivor All-Stars, the first time around, we didn't really have so much of a swap at first. We had basically like the dissolution of the Saboga tribe,
right,
which sent 2 and 2. And then we had a swap, which, and I say we like I was there, where they did the swap where really just Amber ended up going to the other team.
Yeah.
And then in Survivor Heroes versus Villains, it ended up being no swap whatsoever. It was just they played it all the way through to like day 24, 25, and then had a merge. Mm-hmm. So we'll see exactly what they do. But I think that that is probably better in terms of breaking up the pregame alliances, okay? In terms of the cast, in terms of the 20 people that are coming back, Nicole, I think it's going to be very interesting as we have these conversations, because unlike in some seasons like Heroes versus Villains or All-Stars, we have some people who came back and who won the game. They're coming back a second time. This is a season of 20 losers.
They're all losers.
They're all losers. They've all lost the game. And so this time around, they're going to, one of them is going to get go on to have the journey of they lost, they came back, and they won. And for that one person, it's going to be a very nice story. But for 19 people, they're going to come back, and they're either going to be doomed by the same mistakes they made the first time, or they're going to try to overcorrect the mistakes they made the first time.
And make new mistakes.
And make a new mistake that will
doom
them.
Really dumb.
Yes. So I think that's sort of going to be fun to try to figure out here. What is going to doom a lot of these people the second time around? Do they get doomed by what doomed them the first time? Or do they get doomed by trying to fix the thing that doomed them the first time?
Gotcha.
Yeah. Doomed if you do, doomed if you don't.
They're just doomed. They're doomed.
Okay. And on top of that, Nicole, just to sort of set the table, is I think that we're going to look at a lot of these people, and the people that are going to come into this game, they're either coming into the game as a target where people are gunning for them, or they're coming into this game as not a target. And for the targets, how will they get out of being a target? Are they going to go back to their trump card of whatever they do that makes them a target? If they're a physical player, will they just rely on their physical prowess to get them out of it? If they're a smart player, if they're a strategic player and people are gunning for them for that reason, do they try to outsmart people to get out of being a target? Or do they play possum, where if you're a target for being strong, do they act weak? If they're a target for being strategic, do they act unstrategic? And to me, this is sort of the catch-22 that I found myself going into the first Survivor All-Stars, mm-hmm. where I said, boy, everybody is going to be really watching out to make sure I'm not doing anything strategic. Let me try to not be strategic. Did not work.
It didn't matter.
Did not work. Yeah. Did not. That was not. And the more I go back to the same, but I don't think that was the wrong plan. It just didn't work.
Right.
So you could also just be totally screwed in one of these things.
And I don't think some of these people are smart enough to actually follow through with changing their game.
Well, that's fun too. But we also have the people who aren't the threats.
Yeah.
And the people that aren't the threats, do they come into this and sort of bask in the not being a threat? Or do they say, hey, I got to mix it up this time?
I think that I got to
prove to people I'm a threat.
I think some of them are like, well, I'm not going to be a snoozer this season.
Yeah, I didn't get enough airtime last time. Wait till you see me now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, what you were doing wasn't wrong the first time.
It got you here.
It got you here. So that's going to be fun to talk about. So here we go. Let's get into it. We're going to start off tonight with the Takeo tribe.
So where's Dale? What tribe is he on? I don't see him.
Nicole is referencing last week when we were getting ready for this. I asked Nicole.
It's my winner.
Yes. I had asked Nicole about how many people from the Survivor Second Chance cast could Nicole name, because you really, unlike myself, who is sort of, you know, living and dying with this stuff every single day, for Nicole, you know, she probably hasn't thought much about second chance.
Not a little bit.
A little bit. And then she crammed before we did this today.
I got through nursing school cramming.
Okay, fine. Fine. So I made a bet with Nicole, how many people could she name from the cast?
And he said I could not name 10.
Which she could. Nicole did it.
I did.
She got 10 right.
And a half.
But then I started to throw her off by then asking her some of the people, yes or no, were they on the cast or not? And I asked her, Keith Nail, is Keith Nail on the cast? And Nicole thought I was trying to trick her. She said, well, it's either him or Dale. And then we got her on to that Dale was on the cast. And then I was asking her a bunch of questions. This was on Periscope. I asked her a bunch of questions about how she thought that Dale was going to do as father, as with Kelly also on the season, if they were going to be a target. Nicole felt like you felt like they were going to be a target on this season?
I think that was when I was like, I'm thinking Dale's not on this.
Because I was dying laughing.
No, you weren't. You were trying really hard not to.
Trying really hard not to laugh. People on Periscope were laughing.
Yeah.
All right, so that was some fun shenanigans from last week. All right.
Typical Robin Nicole.
All right, so here we go. We're going to talk about the Takeo Mai tribe.
I love that you made me this cheat sheet.
Yes, I gave Nicole a cheat sheet so she can...
I always get confused.
I have a printout of who's on what tribe so we can talk about all of this stuff.
I feel like I need to get this whole thing autographed now.
Yes, go ahead and get that autographed by everybody that ends up coming through here. And we're going to do this in alphabetical order mm-hmm. through the Takeo tribe.
Okay.
So here we go. Let's start off here with our first person from the Takeo tribe, and that would be Abby Maria Gomes.
Yes.
And so Abby Maria, of course, is from Survivor Philippines. Mm-hmm. She is a firecracker. She's a lot
to
of
say the least.
She's a lot of fun, Abby Maria. But to me, the question surrounding Abby Maria is, who is Abby Maria as a player? Because I feel like I've witnessed two Abby Marias.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I've seen the Abby Maria that I've met in real life.
Who is sweet as can be.
Very sweet, very fun. Uh-huh. Again, she got into a little bit with Tyson at the roast. She was a little bit of a loose cannon.
When you put her on stage, that's what happens.
But she is fun. Mm-hmm. She seems like she's up for a good time. Seems like she is going to be somebody that you want to be around.
Yes.
And then there's the Abby Maria that I saw on television.
The one who hasn't eaten.
The one who made Denise Stapley, who probably is somebody who has the patience of a saint, mm-hmm. really just lose her mind. Like, Denise is a trained therapist, and Denise was like, I can't take it anymore. I can't be around Abby Maria. Like,
but in fairness, okay, Denise hasn't like, eaten either. I'm sure she was cranky.
Like, and so for Denise to get to lose patience with Abby Maria.
Well, why are we blaming it all on Abby Maria?
Because it wasn't just Denise that said all that. It was Malcolm. It was Lisa Welch.
Oh, it was everybody,
people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that for Abby Maria, this is going to be an interesting ride. Because my question is, can Abby Maria control this? Because I'm looking at this on paper, literally, and I'm saying to myself, boy, I don't think anybody's gunning for Abby Maria. I feel like Abby Maria, if she could just sort of just like... cool it a little bit, I feel like Abby Maria could be around here for a while.
I agree.
I mean, nobody is going to be particularly threatened by Abby Maria unless
she irritates them.
She starts going Abby Maria on people.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it didn't really seem like in Survivor Philippines, like RC did that much to upset her. And it was really just like, you know, cats and dogs with her and RC and Pete was also, you know, stirring the pot there. But
then they ended up dating.
Well, sure. But I think that he ended up like trying to get Abby Maria and RC to fight with each other more. So it's really going to be interesting to me to see which Abby Maria shows up. And will Abby Maria try to be somebody who's more of a leader this time around? I feel like that would be a mistake for her.
To be a leader?
I really feel like for Abby Maria...
Did she say she wanted to be a leader?
She didn't say that, but I feel like she's talking about a big game in some of the interviews
that
I'm reading with her.
She is talking about a big game, yeah.
And I really feel like for Abby Maria, the right approach for her is to sort of take on the Sandra approach.
Yeah.
Where Abby Maria can get loud, just like Sandra can get loud too.
A little under the radar.
Be a little bit under the radar. Abby Maria really stunk in the challenges the first time around. Now, again, she had a knee injury in Survivor Philippines. And let me just say again that I have watched all of Survivor in the last 14 months. So for most of these people, especially the people in the recent seasons, I have watched their seasons within the last couple of months. So all of this is very fresh in my mind
right on
this. So Abby Maria, really, she sat out of so many challenges going forward. And she really got lucky in Survivor Philippines that Tan Dang got up in the numbers. They were able to sit her out. They got into a numerical advantage where every single challenge, they were able to sit out Abby Maria. If her tribe doesn't get up in the numbers, then she has to play in more of the challenges. She could also be a liability from a physical perspective.
Well, looking at her tribe, I mean, she's with a bunch of really strong guys, some strong chicks. I don't think that's going to be a problem.
You think that they're going to win a bunch of immunities and you feel like they'll be able to sit out Abby Maria if necessary?
Or Abby Maria isn't going to suck that much because she's got the rest of the guys to compensate and some of the girls.
So what do you think? I mean, for me, this ultimately comes down to, can Abby Maria play nice?
Can she simmer down?
Because I feel like that for Abby Maria, and I'm looking for also connections between people, between who knows each other, who's going to be able to work with each other. I feel like Abby Maria and Vetus, I feel like potentially they're both in LA. I feel like their paths must have crossed at some point.
Yeah, but I feel like they're two total opposites that are going to not get along.
You feel like they're not?
Yeah, they're not going to get along. She had said that she wanted to align with Shireen.
She wanted to align with Shireen because she said that Shireen already has $1 million and she wants to take her to the end. So I feel like that could be a interesting alliance in terms of if they're able to work together.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I think Kelly Wentworth can potentially work together with Abby Maria because she, like, Kelly knows that Abby Maria is kind of crazy, but she's just going to roll with it. She said she'll braid her hair.
Okay, she'll braid her hair. That's good. I mean, Abby Maria, just based on her track record, was not able to get along particularly well with the women.
Mm-hmm.
That was really, she got along with Pete. She got along with artists. She got along well with Malcolm most of the time.
I don't see her getting along well with these dudes, though.
You don't think that these guys in particular love Abby Maria?
I don't think Jeff Varner has the patience.
Yeah.
Spencer,
I agree
maybe.
With that. I agree with that. I don't think that Jeff Varner has
the
patience,
for it.
So what is your ultimate gut check? Here's the game I want to play with you today.
Yes.
Okay. I know we've done this in Blood versus Water. Who's going to go further? I want to go with you today. Merge or not merge? Dateable or undateable?
She's dateable.
You say Abby Maria is making the merge this season.
She's making the merge.
And I have to say that I agree.
Yeah.
I think Abby Maria is around for the merge.
Do you want to date her?
Come on. We're trying to be serious.
Oh, right.
I just feel like that there's always going to be bigger fish to fry like Abby Maria. And if you're going to craft the narrative of, you know, what's the best case scenario for Abby Maria, I think she plays like a Sandra game.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure if she has a Sandra game
in her. She can.
But that being said, I think if she can follow the anybody but me and not piss people off to the point that they're trying to get rid of her, and also just always have a bigger target, give her vote up. She was kind of stubborn at times during Survivor Philippines. Sandra was not stubborn. Sandra, you want to vote for him? Fine.
Yeah.
Fine. Take my vote. I'll vote however you want, as long as it's not me. I feel like if Abby Maria could get a little bit of that going, I feel like that would be a best case scenario for Abby Maria.
Do you think she can manipulate Wu?
I think so. You know, she had said in one of her interviews that Wu was the cutest guy out there.
And they'd make cute babies.
That's what she said?
Yes.
Wow. So that's very interesting.
Yeah. But, you know, the more that I think about it, I feel like this is a good alliance. Like, I think that she can really manipulate him.
Okay, so you think Abby Maria is going to manipulate Wu?
Could, possibly.
Wu is an interesting case in his own, and we'll talk about that as we go along. Let's take some questions from you guys about Abby Maria. Questions or comments about Abby Maria? Let's see, Farm Guy 69 was here. He said, Nicole, thanks. Thanks from Farm Guy 69. So he was excited that at least you voted him into the season.
So I was thinking of you.
Yes. Okay. Survivor Fan 7 wants to know, who do you think Abby will call a moron and an idiot from this cast? So moron twice and an idiot once. Who will Abby Maria? Go for it.
PG.
You think PG she will call
a
moron?
She's going to fight. They're going to fight.
You think that you're calling it a PG versus...
Is that how you pronounce her name, PG?
PG, that's right. Boy, if she's going to call anybody a moron...
Or Wigglesworth.
Oh my God. I feel like, I don't know if she's going to call anybody too dumb. Maybe Keith. I could see her going after him.
Oh, I was just looking on her tribe.
Okay. Is there anybody from the Bayon tribe you could think that she could call a moron or an idiot?
Yeah, maybe Keith.
Maybe Keith. Okay. One more Abby question, then we got to move on. We got so many people. Rachel wants to know, will Abby be any better at the challenges this time around if her knee is better? I think that's really the great unknown about all this with Abby Maria. She said that she tore her ACL, I believe, early on in Survivor Philippines.
That was the injury? I mean,
Again, I believe that was
vaguely,
the case.
I vaguely remember that, yeah.
And so that's what she said was the problem with her in these challenges. So I would imagine a fully healed Abby Maria.
She had an MRI on the island?
Yeah. Abby Maria won individual immunity in Survivor Philippines. So you can't say that she's a total zero in the challenges. So let's see ultimately what happens with Abby Maria.
Is she good at puzzles?
I don't know if she's good at puzzles. I'm not sure if she's good at puzzles.
Okay.
So we'll see. All right, there's Abby Maria, and of course we'll talk more about Abby Maria as we discuss the Takeo tribe. TKO tribe.
The knockout.
Okay, the knockouts. Here we go. All right, number two is Jeff Varner. Nicole,
it's Mr. Varner.
Jeff Varner. This is so exciting for me as a longtime Survivor fan to see Jeff Varner from Survivor Australia come back into the game. It was, what now, 14 years ago that Jeff Varner was voted out on Survivor Australia. And I mean, 15 years since they filmed it coming up now next month. So it's really exciting to see Jeff Varner back in the mix. Jeff Varner is, to me, one of the biggest wild cards in this whole season because he's a guy who it seems like everybody in the cast is happy to see him. Mm-hmm. I'm not hearing from too many people in terms of their interviews. Gotta get out Varner. Gotta get out Varner. Oh, the people are saying, I'm so excited to see Jeff Varner here. And he's the guy who seemingly is playing harder than anybody else.
He practiced lying to his mother.
He practiced lying to his mom. He's talking about all these pregame alliances. He's got a hit list of people. He is the guy who is coming out and is really just going full tilt boogie right now.
Is that a good thing?
That's the question. Jeff Varner seemingly is in a fantastic position coming into this game.
Like if he can just simmer down, I think that it would be fantastic.
It's almost like if Jeff Varner could just come into this game.
Sign some autographs.
Sign some autographs, shake some hands.
Yes.
It's almost as if he could just slide right into the merge.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. He's right there in a fantastic spot to start off this game. But he is coming out of the gate swinging.
He's been playing for the past 2 years.
He's been playing for the past 15 years. And so for Jeff Varner, he is talking a lot about now. He's set up incredibly well here because he talks about, and Josh and I talked about that in the 7 Things You Need to Know About Survivor Cambodia podcast. He talked about how he has a pregame alliance with Terry.
Mm-hmm.
He has a pregame alliance with Kelly Wigglesworth.
Uh-huh.
Had a pregame alliance with Shane. And then I guess Shane, who's not there, Shane and Terry, through Aris, had Vetus in the mix.
Yeah.
So I'm not 100% sure if Vetus is on board with the Jeff Varner thing. Dalton Ross did an interview where he talked about who are the people you want to target. And while Jeff Varner talked about Vetus as being somebody who is in his pregame alliance, Vetus talked about Jeff Varner as somebody who he might think about targeting.
Yeah.
So that's the thing about these pregame alliances that, you know, they're not always, you know, the bee's knees.
I love them and hate them at the same time because they're just... It makes people crazy, and then they never work.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you could say that they never work, but a lot of times they open you up to potentially getting screwed over. And as Vetus's own brother, Aris, knows from Survivor Blood versus Water, when he had a pregame alliance with Jervis, it's the kind of thing that's a blind spot because you feel like, okay, that person's good. They're in my pregame alliance. I don't got to worry about them. And then that person could be stabbing you in the back and you just never see it coming.
Are they stupid to do?
I don't think that they're stupid to do. I think that they might be a little silly to put a ton of faith in.
Because you don't know what tribe you're going to be on. There's so many factors that come into play with these, with just playing Survivor and then having these pregame alliances.
Yeah.
You just don't know how it's going to play out.
Yeah, and Jeff said this was a hardcore pregame alliance. They had conference calls and they talked about all of it. Him and Kelly and Terry and Shane. I'm not sure if Vetus was on the conference call.
Yeah.
But these guys are all working together and they're on the same tribe. Now, obviously, Shane isn't there, but we have now it's Jeff, we have Kelly Wigglesworth, and we have Terry all on the same tribe. That's huge for them.
Yeah.
I mean, they're coming into this game, they're working together, and the luck of the draw is that all of them are on the same tribe, plus Vetus is also there too.
But I don't trust Vetus.
Okay, you might not trust Vetus, but I think that on day one, I don't think that Vetus is going anywhere. I'm not sure Vetus is doing his own thing on day one. So maybe you don't trust him for down the road, but I feel like when it comes up to for the first vote, I feel like you have a familiarity there. Where's Vetus going? Unless Vetus is totally going to go against all of these people.
I have a lot to say about Vetus.
We'll get to Vetus, but he's with a V. We're on Jeff with a J.
Oh, I have to wait.
And so for Jeff Varner, I worry about the overplaying.
Yes, but knowing that at least there's a solid three here, that's more than what the rest of these people
are. Oh, I feel good about him in the short term.
Yeah.
I feel good about him in the short term, but I worry about long term. Is all of this wheeling and dealing going to catch up? Is it too much?
Yeah.
Because I feel like for Jeff Varner, who I have previously called one of the all-time great underrated survivors, Jeff Varner, and somebody who I believe in the original Evolution Strategy Chapter 2, which we recorded last summer. That's how long we've been recording the Evolution Strategy. I believe I said it was a travesty that Jeff Varner has never been brought back to Survivor. Now, here he is, but my concern is...
Can he live up to your expectations?
No. Is he trying too hard to live up to our expectations? Does Jeff Varner want to come out and prove to us, hey, you guys were right about me all along. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be the best you've ever seen. And they don't pay you anymore if you play the best game of all time.
I don't think that's what he's thinking. I think he's playing this game for... He's not playing for you. He's playing this for
him.
He's
not playing for me personally.
No, but I don't think that stuff is like going into his head. I think that he's just been playing this for, you know, since he got voted out.
Okay, so you feel like that he's doing
this... He's just living this.
He's doing this because he sees this as the best possible way to do it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that maybe there is some of that, but I do think that there is a bit of an ego with every one of these people that goes into the game, and I think that I understand a little bit more. I feel like I'm much more of the Hannibal Lecter, able to get inside the mind of these people, and I feel like that there is something to and I know how I would feel, because as somebody who... On my second time...
Is that how you felt?
I really did feel like, well, if I played a third time, I'd really want to show these people that, you know, I wasn't... That, you know, I don't suck. And little did I know, I was the Rob that sucked. But, you know, but I think that there is some sort of psychology to it. And it might not even be the kind of thing that's sort of front of mind, but I do think that there is a little bit of...
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, let me show the world just how good I am at the game. And I wonder if Jeff's doing too much.
He most likely is.
Now, the other thing that I want to sort of set up here. So Jeff is with Terry and Kelly Wigglesworth. I think that there's an interesting narrative here that's is going to be written this season. And I think that's really on two fronts. And I think that one is old school versus new school. I think that this is a thing that's happening, and I'm seeing it a little bit in both of the tribes.
Okay.
The old school players versus the new school players. Of course, this alliance that Jeff is in with Jeff season 2, Terry season 12, Kelly season 1, Shane was season 12.
Oh, Kelly Wigglesworth? I thought you meant the other one.
No, Kelly Wigglesworth.
Okay.
Okay. So
that changes things a little bit.
So what I'm saying is that I think that there could be a thing going on here with the players from the older seasons banding together, and maybe there's also a little bit of the age thing going on, of the older players also banding together, not necessarily the players from the only, like, old school could potentially also be players that are older. I think this is going to be a lot of old school versus new school in terms of both season and age this season.
Yeah.
I think that's a thing that's also happening here. Jeff Varner, I think he's comfortable with these old school players as well. I think that he has a ton of allies here. He also has allies in the new school also. He talked about how he has alliances with Spencer, with Shireen, and also with Kelly Wentworth.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a ton of allies here. I think that if there's one lock on the board, Jeff Varner is not the first person voted out. Unless everybody talks to each other. Yeah. He seems like if he got to pick his tribe, he couldn't be set up better for the people that he's talking about.
Look at his picture. He's laughing. He's like, yeah, look at this.
He's laughing. And so I think Jeff Varner is set up particularly well. It's should be no surprise that I think Jeff Varner is making the merge. Nicole, agree or disagree?
I agree. And why do these pictures look like elementary school like pictures with their background? Do they always do this?
I think those are the pictures that they took from when they went to casting.
That's what I figured.
Yes. So it's from, it's a little bit different than in the regular season. These were the pictures from their second chance photos that were in LA, not on location.
Yeah, Sierra's the only one that's like posing.
Sierra's posing. Everybody else is
like a newscaster.
Everybody else is at the DMV. Okay. Here we go. This is from Nicolette, who says, Varner and his many alliances. Do you think it will come back to bite him at some point? I think the history of somebody playing this hard in an all-star season is not a good one. And I think that the best case scenario you could say of somebody that plays the game this hard is like a Boston Rob or like a Russell Hantz. You go to the end and you lose because these all-stars can sometimes be especially hard on the person that screwed them over. Yes. I didn't want to say the little B word.
The B word.
But I feel like that is not necessarily how I would approach going into a game like this. If I was going to be in this second chance cast, I think I would probably end up going back to that same game plan, that same erroneous game plan that I had in the Survivor All-Stars, where I'd say, you know what? I'm not going to get voted out for overplaying.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to go back and I'm going to play it. And if I'm going to win this game, it's going to be because I was able to get back under the radar a little bit. I'm not going to be able to play this hard for 39 days.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Didn't work. It didn't work the first time, but I still think.
Well, you didn't stand a chance.
Yeah. A different story. I don't want to make it about me, but I think that would be my mindset going back into a game like this.
Hear you.
Inessa wants to say, do you think that Jeff studied up on Cass and the other new Survivors? Did he watch your second chance interviews? I think that Jeff seemed like he was on top of the ball. Yes, you feel like he listened to a lot of the other interviews?
I think that he did his homework.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if there's one thing that you could say about Jeff Varner, that he is prepared.
He read FBI body language books. He was doing his homework.
He's ready to go.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to John Johnson. Will Jeff Probst bring peanut butter for Varner as a temptation again? I don't think so. I don't think so. You know that Jeff Varner got naked for peanut butter?
I hear that's what you're supposed
to
do.
That's what happened. Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah.
No, Jeff Varner, he jumped off the thing for peanut butter, and he hates peanut butter. That's how much he blames the peanut butter.
Peanut butter is overrated.
No, it's fantastic. Love peanut butter. All right, so feel good about Jeff Varner, but worry...
For the short term.
Worry about his playing the game too hard, catching back up to him.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to number three so far tonight. Here she is, Kelly Wentworth.
Kelly
Wentworth. Playing with her dad for the second time. Here she is, Kelly Wentworth, a veteran of Survivor San Juan del Sur. And to me... Here's another real wild card on the board because for both, not just for me, but for the Survivor players themselves, I feel like there's a lot of unknowns about Kelly Wentworth, the Survivor player.
Yes.
Now, Kelly is somebody, she comes into this game, she's one of the people that have the least amount of experience from playing the game the first time. She gets voted out, I'm not sure the exact day, it's around day 15 post-swap.
Does she have the record San Juan del Sur for least days played?
Of this cast?
Yeah.
I think it's somewhere between her and Kimmy, but I don't know exactly. I'd have to look that up.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of Kelly Wentworth, you know, she is somebody who really comes back into this game. She seems eager. She seems ready to go. But I feel like, will the survivors treat her as an unknown that they are concerned about? Like devil you know, devil you don't know.
Right. Or do they have bigger fish to fry?
Do they have bigger fish to fry? Now, for me, I think that Kelly is somebody who I worry about in terms of, boy, I was on the show the first time. I didn't get a ton of airtime, so I need to make my mark this season. This is my chance. And I feel like for Kelly as well, I think that's the wrong approach. If I was going to give advice to Kelly in a time machine, if she had asked me what to do, I think I would say, you know what? You're out there. Nobody's coming for you. I would say, just, you know.
Zip it.
Not necessarily zip it, but just be a go-along person. Just go along with whatever's going on. Get your feet under you in this game and then take it from there. Because I feel like you don't want to be somebody who is making yourself into a target because you're trying to make up for not having a ton of screen time in the first season.
Yeah, but I think that based on her interviews, I think she's not going to do that. I think she's going to do exactly what we think
she's coming in
do.
Aggressive, yeah. Coming in hot.
She's coming in hot, but
of course.
Aggressive too.
Now, Kelly Wentworth was somebody that I really wanted to get a better picture of when I went back and I watched Survivor San Juan del Sur earlier last month. And I have to say that the game tape, in terms of what is actually there, there's still not much.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like I went back and I really came away with, oh, I totally understand who Kelly is as a player. Her one thing, the one real claim to fame that she has in the game, is that she's the person that Drew Christie identified as the person who's the biggest threat in the game. And
why?
So, because she's seen all the seasons.
Oh.
Now, Drew Christie is a person who seemingly is wrong about most things. So the question ultimately is this the one thing that Drew Christie is right about? Or Drew is wrong again?
I think he's wrong.
You think he's wrong. So you think that...
I don't think that's why she's a threat.
Okay, well, why? But
I think that she was good in challenges, right?
She was good. She was decent in the challenges.
Yeah.
And that's something that I really didn't remember too much about Kelly. She was pretty good in the challenges. She ended up beating Jacqueline in the deciding battle in Sumo at Sea in the second episode, I believe. And so she is somebody who's going to be able to hold her own. I think she's somebody who could get caught up in this battle of old school versus new school.
Yeah. But I mean, there's only three people in the old school alliance.
Well, that's at the core of it. And then
right.
Who are they recruiting? Because I think there's a lot of people who you could swing into that.
Or
as well.
Who could she align with? Can she be in the majority?
Well, I think that based on what I've seen from the pregame interviews, I think that her and Spencer, I think, are on pretty good terms. I feel like that Kelly Wentworth and potentially Shireen, that could be a thing. I feel like these people from the last couple seasons, I feel like there's a bond there.
Yeah.
Now, the question is, is Wu with them? Does Wu want to be with them, or does Wu want to be with the older people? But I feel like for the younger people, the people who are the new school people, I want to say new school more so than younger, because
right.
That's a little confusing in terms of the ages. But for the new school people, what's going on there? I feel like Kelly is going to be trying to work with Spencer. Is she putting her eggs in the wrong basket?
Or can Kelly blend in with the old school players?
Well,
like she's a good worker.
Yes.
She's good in challenges.
Yes. So that Kelly was somebody who Jeff Varner also said that he was working with. And so she has an in with Jeff Varner. But the problem is that Jeff Varner has to pick a side here.
Yeah.
So he can't have an alliance with everybody that's going. Like at some point, people are going to go to a tribal council and then people are going to be annoyed
yeah.
and say, hey, Jeff, I thought you were with me.
You were with me. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, well, you know, now I'm not.
Just kidding.
Just kidding. So for Kelly, I think it's going to be pretty interesting. Do you have a good feeling or a not so great feeling on Kelly?
I think she's going to make the merge.
You think she's making the merge? Why?
Because I think that this is a strong tribe to begin with. I don't think that they're going to lose a lot. And I don't think she's going to give them a reason to vote her out. I think she's going to do well in the challenges and she's going to do well at camp.
Yeah, I really could see it going either way. I have her making the merge, but I
yeah.
feel like that she's somebody who I think people are going to not be super worried about her early on. And there's going to be bigger personalities and bigger targets to get out than Kelly.
Yeah.
But I think that Kelly needs to make sure she doesn't make herself into one of those targets.
And her dad's on the other tribe. She doesn't need to worry about him this season. So it's fine.
Right. Of course. But that being said, for Kelly, I think it's just really important to, you know, just go with the flow early on, because that the book is not written about her. And if she gives anybody a reason to distrust her, she doesn't have a track record to fall back on with any of these people, especially for the people from San Juan del Sur and from Worlds Apart, where they don't have previous relationships with these people. Whereas a lot of the old school people may have known each other for years.
Yeah.
Like that's a bigger thing to fall back on than some of these people who really just barely know each other.
Yeah.
So,
but you know, she's a RHAP listener. I think she knows the too hard, too fast strategy doesn't work.
Okay. Well, let's hope so for Kelly. Yeah. All right. Let's talk. Go from one Kelly to another, Nicole. Do you think that they should have put the two Kellys on one tribe?
It's very confusing. And they're both Kelly W and they end with Earth.
You know,
right?
I'm sorry, I skipped ahead. I want to take questions about about Kelly Wentworth. Okay, so let's wind it back here and take some questions on Kelly. Okay, so Jeff Coaster says that I think Jeff Varner and Kelly Wentworth could really run this game together. Do you think they would make a good team?
Potentially.
I mean, of all the alliances that Jeff Varner has to pick from, I mean, I feel like that's the odd one for him to ultimately land on, Jeff and Kelly Wentworth.
Stranger
things have happened, and maybe that's not necessarily where nobody sees that one coming.
Yeah.
Possible. It's possible. Okay. Not Trevor Yu says, will Kelly's under-the-radar threat make her even more of a target because nobody knows her, or does she fly under the radar the whole season? Well, the thing is, with these seasons of 20 people, returning players, all-stars, you can get under the radar for a while, but sooner or later, it's going to find you. Whether you're like a Candace in the second or in Heroes versus Villains, where, you know, Candace is under the radar for a while, you know, her name's getting floated around a little bit, but eventually, you know, the game is going to find you. It's a big season. There's a lot of people there. So you can be under the radar for a little bit, but you can't go be totally under the radar all the way to the end, unless you're just a goat that somebody's dragging to the end.
Yeah.
So I don't know if she can go the distance being under the radar. And then from Jen Manning, will Kelly's inexperience be an advantage for her in the game? I don't see how inexperience is necessarily an advantage for anybody, but it could be that the fact that other people don't know her particularly well be something that helps her. But I think when in this game, which is so much about trust, I don't think that people not knowing you really helps you out that much. It might not make you a target early on, but when people are making their sort of ride or die alliances, I feel like that people not knowing you particularly well is never going to be a great asset.
Yeah.
All right. How you doing, Nicole?
Good.
All right. Let's move on to Kelly Wigglesworth. Here she is. Kelly Wigglesworth is back from season one. And Kelly Wigglesworth, this really is so confusing and wonderful and interesting to me, because I just go back to, why is Kelly Wigglesworth here? Why is Kelly Wigglesworth back on my TV? Why is Kelly Wigglesworth back on Survivor?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are asking that question.
Yes.
I think including herself.
It's a very fascinating story to
get her
here.
She hasn't watched Survivor. She hasn't watched TV. She's done no research at all.
Yes.
She's no idea what's going on.
She seemingly has no idea what's going on, has no idea why she's there. And I don't know if we're being set up. To me, Kelly Wigglesworth, here's my read, and my Josh, on what's going on with Kelly Wigglesworth. I mean, there's two ways you could look at it.
Mm-hmm.
One is Kelly Wigglesworth did Survivor 15 years ago. She had her experience. She had her fun, good, bad, indifferent. Those were the feelings that she had about it at the time. There was some part of her that wanted to do it again. The opportunity never quite presented itself. Maybe it was a financial thing that at this point in time that she wanted to do it. She's here. She's going through the motions, and Kelly Wigglesworth is back on Survivor. That's choice one. Or choice two is that Kelly Wigglesworth is back, and while she's not particularly interested in interviews, she's not going to sit there with Dalton Ross or Gordon Holmes or Josh Wiggler or me or whoever's interviewing her. She could really care less about press. She could care less about production. She's not going to be.
What does she care about?
The money. Is Kelly Wigglesworth a mercenary who doesn't own a TV, doesn't care about being good TV, but she's there to win the game?
Well, it's not going to happen.
Whoa, Nicole, you've been so hard on her. Why? Why are you so down on Kelly Wigglesworth?
Because the game has evolved. Like, you know, you've talked about it for 700 hours since she's played.
Okay.
It's not the same game.
It's not the same game that they played back there. But is it so complicated that you can't pick it up? I mean, she played it once.
But does she want to play it? Well, I mean, it doesn't seem like she wants to play.
Well, does she not want to play Survivor, or does she not want to play the TV show Survivor? If she has gone to the lengths to make a pregame alliance with Jeff Varner, from what Jeff Varner is saying,
she probably got a phone call. Hey, you want to be an alliance?
No,
oh, okay.
Jeff Varner says that they were untying ropes. They're doing conference calls. I mean, why go to the length? If she doesn't really want to be there, why go through these lengths to have the pregame alliance? Why doesn't she hang up the phone on Jeff Varner and say, you know what, Jeff, I'm out on alliances. I learned my lesson with these alliances last time around. I'm not getting involved. Thanks, but no thanks. I'll see you out there.
That's probably what she said. And then Jeff Varner was like, wait a second. It's different. This is what you have to do. And she's listening to him.
It's possible. You know, maybe I have this, I'm looking at the world through rose-colored glasses here with Kelly Wigglesworth. She is somebody that I feel like that maybe could be the mercenary.
I wish Corinne was here right now, because she would say things that I want to say that I'm not going to say.
Yeah, like
I'm
what?
I'm not going to say them.
Fan fiction.
I'm like a storyteller. That's what I do.
Is it fan fiction?
What fan fiction?
is Kelly Wigglesworth, that she is a player, is that a work of fiction? Possibly. Mm-hmm. Possibly. But I also feel like the fact that she's just there and doesn't care about it doesn't make any sense either. Why would she leave her? Why would she leave a small baby at home?
She has a baby.
I think she has a baby, and I think the baby is either under one or is like a year and a half old. I mean, why would she leave her baby at home and go do this? She's somebody who never had any interest in Survivor whatsoever after it was over. Like, why would she go? Why would she go there if she didn't care about winning?
I'm blaming Varner for this.
Jeff Varner dragged her there?
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel good about Kelly Wigglesworth this season.
You do?
I do.
Okay.
I actually, when earlier this season, or this summer, that before they came home, I was asked about, I made a Periscope of who was my pick to win. And I just had this thought that day where I said, what if Kelly is really there to go for it? What if she's there to win? She's the person in my mind who has the smallest target on her back.
Yeah, that is true.
Yes, I believe it's not a tiny tattoo on her back. Of these players that if you were going to rank them, who has the smallest target on their back? Who is the person that nobody is saying, boy, I got to get this person out? I believe that the answer to that question is Kelly Wigglesworth.
I agree.
So no target, plus, if she can do anything, I feel like she's around for a while. And then she's somebody who won four immunity challenges in the original Survivor Borneo. Again, not against the stiffest competition ever, but she does yoga. She's an athlete. I mean, she's only 37 years old. I feel like that, she can win immunities.
But the biggest yogis turn out to be the biggest villains.
Is that true?
It is.
Don't spoil your Vita section. But that being said, again, it was a crapshoot pick. I said Kelly Wigglesworth, and maybe let's see.
Are you standing by that?
I mean, I have to. I mean, that was what I predicted in June. I'm going to give you a different name on this podcast of somebody who, if I have a mulligan, then I'm going to give you a different name. But that was who I thought of. Okay. And I think it's going to be interesting to see. Let's take some questions on Kelly Wigglesworth. This is from Nicolette. Kelly Wigglesworth appears to be kind of apathetic and even clueless in some of her interviews. But at least Varner's interviews reveal that she's got some things going on. Is Kelly a stone cold liar? What's going on in her head? Well, what if she is a stone-cold liar?
It's possible that that's what it is.
I mean,
because she had me fooled.
Is there some degree of possibility that Kelly Wigglesworth is like, I don't give an F about Survivor the TV show?
Yeah.
Survivor the TV show made me look whatever in 2000. Like, I'm here for the cash. I'm here for the money.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about your TV. I don't care about ratings. I don't even own a TV. I don't care about being famous. All I care about is winning the money. How does it help me win the money by talking to you?
That just makes you a biatch.
That makes who? That...
Kelly.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Well, I mean, if you say it like that.
I mean, it makes her a mercenary. Mm. Is it possible? Is it possible, chat room? Anthony wants to know. Do you think Wigglesworth actually has some knowledge of the game and will do well strategically? She's been lying in interviews and seemingly more prepared than we thought, Nicole.
Mm.
Why is she lying in her interviews?
She's practicing.
I mean, okay, maybe she doesn't know everything, but if she's got Jeff Varner, mm-hmm. and Jeff
it's
Varner
a good coach.
Is there, and Jeff Varner is playing everybody, and she's sitting there at the end of the game with Jeff Varner, and I talked about how what happens to people who overplay in these all-star games.
Yeah.
Like Boston Rob, mm-hmm. like Russell Hance, and she's sitting there at the end of the game. Isn't that a good look for her?
Yeah, it is. I mean, when you put it like that.
Yes, anything is possible. That's right. That's right. Spicy Wasabi wants to know, we all know Wigglesworth is competitive, and she did cut her best friend in Sue. She is a mercenary. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for the reassurance. Are you so, Nicole, what do you think? Merge or no merge for Kelly Wigglesworth?
Initially, I said no. I said first boot.
You first boot,
yep.
Kelly Wigglesworth.
Someone has to be the first boot.
They can't. They're not going to boot. There is a reverence that these other survivors talk about her with.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that they're almost like looking at her as like some sort of a patron saint of Survivor. And I feel like that they all, nobody's talking about targeting her. There's no way she's the first boot.
Okay. That was my initial assessment.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But I was annoyed because she did, like, I felt like she didn't care.
You felt, I think that she does not care about talking to these people doing interviews. That I will, I firmly believe that 100%. She does not care about press.
Mm-hmm.
I believe she probably doesn't care about doing interviews on the show.
Yeah.
She
was
might,
on the Fishbowl a few times, right?
In 2004.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, duh.
Yes. So... we'll see. We'll yeah. see with Kelly Wigglesworth. All right, you ready? Let's keep moving. How are we doing? How are we doing on time?
We're doing really bad on time.
Really bad on time. Okay. All right. So we'll pick up the pace a little bit here with our next person. It's PG Law.
PG.
PG Law here, and from Survivor China.
Uh huh.
She's somebody who's set up particularly well, I feel like, in the battle of old school versus new school.
Yeah.
She is from season 15, right in the middle. That's a good place to be.
Yeah.
I think that's a good place to be coming into this. I think that she's also somebody that nobody is worried about PG.
And I feel like she kind of knows her place in the game.
Yeah, how so?
She said that she, what did she say? That she is going to align with one of the strong guys and have them carry her and then align with a weak person.
Okay. That's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
So for PG, I think that she is situated well here. I think that unless she is going to have that thing that we talked about where, hey, nobody's worried about PG unless she makes them worried about PG.
I didn't get that impression. I think that she knows this, like, I'm just going to sit back and see how it goes.
Now, some of the things that I have been reading about her, I think that a couple people have said in their pregame interviews that she's sort of like bouncing off the walls. That's not good.
That like she's hyper?
That she's a little too hyper.
Uh-huh.
We've heard some other people, like Jeremy Collins, who's not on her tribe, says that he thinks she could be the first person out, says Jeremy Collins.
Okay, well, he doesn't have
now,
a say
Jeremy
in that.
Jeremy Collins is not somebody who has any interaction whatsoever with PG.
Yeah.
And he's saying he thinks she could be the first person out. And even Keith Nail said of...
Oh, he's on this season?
Of Phoebe. Phoebe, he thinks, is going to be the first person out. So she's doing something there that nobody should be worried about, PG. But
she's doing something wrong.
Yeah, we're hearing her name come up a little bit. Luckily, the people that have been saying it are not on her tribe.
Yeah.
So that's,
and one person doesn't actually know her name.
And one person doesn't know her name. So that's interesting. So she's somebody who, in her previous season, though, while she had flashes that were very good, she also had flashes of either, I don't know if you would call it combativeness, where she was fighting with James, fighting with John Robert, fighting with a lunch lady slash custodian Denise.
She doesn't get along with strong personalities.
Yeah, she butts heads with people. Yeah. And it's one thing when you're on a tribe with, you know, crazy Dave Cruiser, and, and you look like the same person next to Dave Cruiser. But it's another thing in his tribe with a bunch of strong personalities.
Yes, I don't think the old school alliance is going to like this sort of behavior.
But she could get in with them if she wanted to.
She can get in with them. She can.
All she has to do is not make waves.
Mm-hmm. And lay off the coffee.
Yeah, because I feel like the people that are from the same era sort of know each other. Like, I feel like that Terry and PG, probably their paths crossed at some point.
Yeah.
You know, he's season 12, she's season 15. You know, I think that whatever charity events or whatever, you know, hopefully they have good interactions together.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that PG could get back into this. If there is an old school versus new school, she could either go with
whatever.
She can go with wherever the wind blows. Mm-hmm. So I feel like for PG, nobody's going to be gunning for her too hard, that, or they weren't at least coming in gunning for her. And if they are gunning for her now, it's because she's being all over the place at Ponderosa. She needs to walk that back a little bit.
Chill the F out.
Yeah, chill out a little bit.
Yeah.
But she comes into this game with no enemies. Nobody is gunning for her. She doesn't come in with any great friends either. She talked about in her interview that Dalton Ross asked to everybody, who are you gunning for first? She's gunning for Joe, and she says she's gunning for Vetus.
Yeah.
So she's somebody also that mentions Vetus as somebody who she's going to potentially try to target. I feel like her and Shireen are going to be quick allies.
I could see that.
And so I feel like that she's going to ultimately side more with new school than necessarily old school.
Yeah.
Especially if I feel like Vetus is swinging more with old school because of Terry, because of Jeff Varner.
Yeah.
So I feel
like Terry had mentioned in his interviews that he wanted to align with Vetus.
Yes. So I feel like that PG, I think that that's where she's going. If you have to decide on PG, is she dateable or undateable? Making the merge?
She's not dateable.
You say PG is not making the merge.
I don't see her making the merge.
Okay. I think, while I don't feel great, I'll say I think PG's making the merge.
Okay.
I think she's making the merge again.
Yes. I think an issue that's going to, what's going to be an issue in this tribe is the challenges. Like, you got your challenge beasts here on this whole top row, and it's going to be who's not participating in the challenge.
You're being a little kind to Jeff Varner calling him a challenge beast. Okay, but I hear where you're coming from.
You know where I'm going.
Yeah. All right. So let's take some questions about PG. Zeddy Boy says, PG gave a good show in China, but I think she won't be aggressive this time, and I'm scared that she won't be much in the edit or will be a pre-jury. Well, if she's not much in the edit, I think that's a good thing for PG.
That's a good thing. That means she's doing what we're telling her.
Yeah. PG, go under the radar. Nobody's worried about you.
Yeah, no coffee bar.
That the only reason that people are talking about you is bad. If people are even saying PG, that's bad. You know, you want to just hang out, get to the merge, and then make something happen. Like a lot of these people in these all-star seasons that have done well, like the Parvati approach, it's like Parvati's not doing a lot in Micronesia before the merge. Then it gets down to, you know, final whatever, I don't know the number off the top of my head. But when it comes time to take out Ozzy, she's there to make something happen. Cochran also is somebody. Cochran's not doing a lot pre-merge in Survivor Fans versus Favorites 2. And again, you just want to be set up well where then you can strike. And if you're PG, I think if your people are talking about you too much pre-merge, that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
Let's go to...
So did you say she was pre or...
I said she's making the merge.
She's making the merge. Okay.
Nicolette says, in an article video on EW, Jeff said that PG was one of the people who would not win the game. Why do you think he said that? Do you agree? Well, again, now Jeff might know more about PG than I certainly do from watching the show, but Jeff had named a couple of people that he felt like could not win. I believe Cass was on that list.
Monica was on that list.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yes, yes, that's true. I would not say that PG can't win the game. I don't think that is a fair guess. Like, unless Jeff had something to back that up, but I feel like that the one thing you could say about PG is that she had a little bit of a temper the first time around.
She was feisty,
but I feel like that, I mean, she was somebody who got pretty far the first time around, and it wasn't like people were dragging her to the end like a goat or anything like that. So I don't really get why Jeff would say that PG can't win the game. She seems like she's a pretty smart player.
Yeah.
I just would worry about the temper a little bit with PG, and that's something that concerns me. This is from Spicy Wasabi. Will PG and Abby get along? Well, what do you think? Two fiery personalities. Do they get along? Are they best friends? Or are they worst enemies?
I don't think they're going to get along. I think that Abby Maria, she's like kind of like the party girl, and PG is like the professional, and PG is
a professional.
She's somewhat like... She's a smart chick.
What is this, like Stealth R Us? Are you giving out nicknames?
No. That wouldn't be the nickname I would give out. It's boring.
Your nickname is the party chick.
You PG know what I'm saying.
From now on, you will be known as...
Okay, we don't have time for this.
Professional. Sorry.
I don't think PG's going to put up with the nonsense.
All right. Interesting. We'll see how PG does. I think she's in a interesting spot here in terms of the Takeo tribe, which way she's going to ultimately go. I think she sides with New School in this fictional breakdown. All right, here we go. Shireen is back. Shireen is back, arguably the biggest fan out here. She goes right from the finale of her season, which I can't imagine, to going to go play in Survivor Cambodia. Mm-hmm. Now, for Shireen, I do think that she is going to be have some people there that want to work with her on this tribe, but I also feel like that there could be some trouble ahead.
Because she's a millionaire?
Well, I don't think that turned out to be nice. she said right before she left to everybody, hey, I made my first million when I was 25, and would like to hear more about that story. But for Shireen, she's somebody who, as a Survivor player, we've never really seen a long period of prosperity for Shireen.
Yeah.
That for Shireen, and I just watched Survivor Worlds Apart last week, so it's very fresh in my memory. But for Shireen, the only time she ever had the numbers on her side was in the vote out of So Kim.
Yeah.
And that was it. Every other time.
I don't even remember that.
Well, Mr. Survivor Malcolm will be very upset with you. And so for... So Kim, that was the only time that Shireen got the numbers on her side. And then every other time from there, you know, it was Shireen either blindsided with Max Dawson or just being on the wrong side. Right. Actually, you know what? I should also say when Jen Brown played her idol, Shireen was technically on the right side of the numbers, but more people were voting in the opposite direction than she was in that vote. Uh-huh. But that being said, for Shireen,
but she made it pretty far considering all of this.
Yeah, she made it to top eight in Survivor Worlds Apart, and she was somebody who ended up teaming up with the No Collar, so she was able to sort of switch from what she was doing, and ultimately, I mean, I think Carolyn switched what she was doing on Shireen, and then Shireen moved forward with the No Collar people. But to me, in terms of going back and watching Shireen's game and sort of taking a closer look at what she did, I thought when she played her best was when she sort of did a self-evaluation at that point after Max Dawson got voted out. And she said, boy, this is not working what I'm doing. I need to go back and work with these No Collar people and make myself into somebody who they can confide in, they can work with. And for me, I think that's what Shireen needs to do in this season. I think that she needs to come in and be willing to be a team player with this group of people that she's in. Whereas I feel like if she comes out and plays too aggressively, I feel like she's going to run into problems. Mm-hmm. So I feel like for Shireen, I liked what I saw in the middle of her game, mm-hmm. where pre the whole thing with Will and post Max Dawson being voted out. Mm-hmm. And I'm worried about Shireen because we were concerned going into Survivor Second Chance that Max Dawson was on the ballot.
Right.
And Max Dawson was going to potentially be out there. We said, boy, this is not good for Shireen to be out there with Max Dawson. But I wonder, could there be a new Max Dawson in Spencer who's on her tribe?
I was gonna
Could Spencer be the new Max?
It's possible.
Yes. And so could...
Less facial hair.
Less facial hair. But could Spencer be the new bro for Shireen that they spend a lot of time talking about the game?
Well, they're both super fans.
You know, geeking out about stuff. And are people going to look at them and say, even if they're not, are people going to say, oh, that's the new Max Dawson and Shireen?
I don't think any of these people are thinking of Max Dawson.
People are thinking about Max Dawson, Nicole.
I think you're the only one.
People are thinking about Max Dawson, I'm telling you. So for Shireen, you know, she has a reverence for a lot of these people.
Yes.
Like a Jeff Varner.
Yes.
Like a Kelly Wigglesworth. But my question is, do they have a reverence for Shireen? Like, does Kelly Wigglesworth respect the person that's like, oh my God, Kelly Wigglesworth, this is so weird? Because believe me, I'm somebody that I went out on Survivor as a person who was a big fan with returning players, and they thought that was annoying. they did not even like hearing about it. Sue Hawk, could you talk about that time that you said Snakes and Rats? That was the greatest moment ever. And then that was so cool.
I bet Kelly Wigglesworth isn't having it.
No. Yeah. I don't think Kelly Wigglesworth is really too keen on telling stories about Survivor 1.
You can't blame her.
Yeah. I bet, you know,
I'm sure Jeff Varner doesn't mind.
He doesn't mind it.
He doesn't mind it,
but
Terry loves it.
Is that going to wear thin on somebody like Kelly Wigglesworth?
But does she have enough pull to do something about it?
Well, if she's in with Terry, I don't know if Terry is super into, geeking out about Survivor. I
bet he loves it.
Does he? I bet he loves it when you're talking about the Lamina tribe and talking about Survivor Exile Island.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he likes that. But talking about the other seasons, I don't know.
Yeah.
For Shireen, I really feel like she's got to like, really work hard at getting along with this group, I think.
Yeah.
And also, it's going to be a issue of that Joe is on the other side. I think that maybe people are going to be concerned about if her and Joe are going to be reunited.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's also something. Now, Shireen has shown a flexibility at times. There was a time in Survivor Worlds Apart when her and Jen and Joe were together and they figured out a numbers loophole, Nicole.
Yeah.
You remember that?
No, I don't.
Numbers loophole.
They figured out a numbers loophole where if Shireen and Joe both put their votes on Jen and Jen voted for somebody else, that they could have kept Jen in the game or kept Joe in the game instead of Jen. And Mike Holloway went to her and said, like, I'm going to need you to not do that. And then she was like, okay, fine. Let me go ahead with Mike and let me try to not do that. So she did show a tendency to be able to be flexible.
Yes.
As well. But I'm worried. I'm worried about this new school tandem. I'm worried about Shireen and Spencer and Kelly to a lesser degree.
Well, you should be.
As a three. I'm worried that they're targeted by this older group, by the old school group.
Yeah, I agree.
And she is somebody who...
And she's smart, and people know she's smart.
She is so smart. She's so smart about the game, and she talks very bluntly to people about the numbers. About the numbers. And I think that's also intimidating.
It's intimidating, yeah.
She doesn't really come at people with sort of a pitch about, hey, for this is, you know, it's like a very, we have to do this because we have this number, and this is what will happen. And I think that it's a little too clinical for some people.
Yeah.
Spencer does the same thing too.
Yeah, but I feel like Spencer can kind of tone it down when he needs to.
We'll see. I am officially worried about Shireen and Spencer.
Yeah.
Let's take some questions on this.
I agree with you.
Okay. First time for everything. All right. Nate Hall says, of all the contestants who were seemingly heroic prior to the season, I honestly see Shireen as the one potentially becoming a villain this time around, especially if she gains power early in the game. Would Shireen let power go to her head?
Well... I don't think she's going to get it.
You don't think she's going to get it?
No.
I'm not exactly sure, but I could see a villainous streak in Shireen.
I feel like she's just going to be a goofball.
Jen Manning wants to know, do you think that Shireen will go nude again this year?
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. I mean, I think that Shireen has said on a number of occasions that going nude was a functional thing more so than being a exhibitionist.
What was its function?
That it was nighttime and she didn't want to get her her underwear wet when it was about to be nighttime.
Aren't you worried about bugs crawling in places that they shouldn't be?
What, the one when she walked in the water?
Yeah, there's bugs.
I don't know. I don't want to explore this much further. Dan Smith says, Shireen is maybe going to be first boot or second voted out. That's what I think is going to happen. Hashtag sorry, Shireen. I could see it. I could see that. I could see that scenario happening because I am worried. You know, we're in a season where just about everybody here is a good player.
Yeah,
people have to go.
Just about
people have to go. Everybody can't go far into the game, and you have to at least come up with a narrative, as Jonathan Penner would tell you. What is the story here? And I just feel like the story here, if it's old school versus new school, I think that old school has the numbers, and I feel like they're going to be coming for these people from 28, 29, and 30.
Yeah, I don't think the future looks bright for Shireen.
You don't feel like it's particularly bright. Shireen was my winner pick in Survivor Worlds
Apart. And she let you down then, and she's going to let you down again.
Well, I hope she lets me down here, because I don't feel like it's going to go well
Maybe
here.
Maybe her cousin will show up next time.
I hope so. But I feel like that for Shireen, it's such a whirlwind to go from everything from the finale to this. I feel like that it would be better for her for let people forget about her more.
Yes,
and then come back.
Absolutely, absolutely. She was a big personality on her season.
Yeah. Rooting for Shireen, though, but I don't feel great about it based on what I'm seeing so far. Let's go to Let's go to the person who could be the new Max Dawson. Here he is, your Mr. Survivor, the young lad, Spencer.
Yes, Spencer.
All right, here's Spencer, Nicole.
There he is.
All right. So Spencer, of course, played in Survivor Kagiyan. The young lad is back. For Spencer, Survivor is nothing but a series of highs and lows, Nicole.
Mostly lows. Mostly lows. Oh, he's got a little happy trail going on over there.
Okay. So that's the high.
That's a low.
And so for Spencer, like really good things happen and then really bad things happen.
Nothing goes well for him.
No, nothing goes medium for him. It's either like the best day ever or the worst day ever for Spencer. And
although I'm a little worried about Spencer, I've been hearing things that he just has a big head.
A big head. Okay. Yes. All right. So for Spencer, it's like the thing swings one way and then it always comes back and swings the other way. It's the pendulum, or if you will, Nicole, it's the spendulum.
It's the pendulum.
And so for Spencer, like things are, everything is great. He's Mr. Survivor. He's back on the show. Everything's going great.
Outside the show, things go well. Yes. On the show, they don't do so, not so great.
He has good days and bad days.
Yeah.
I think. And
he has 39 bad days.
No, he can't. He doesn't have all bad days.
He didn't make it 39 days.
Okay. What, 37 days?
You get what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. And so, for Spencer, it's either up and it's down. And so for Spencer, while the guy, he's certainly somebody who has a lot of skills in this game, and we can certainly see many of them in Survivor Kagiyan. He's somebody who I think comes into this game with a target. Jeff Varner is talking about him. He wants him to be the first person out, Nicole.
Yep. He is a target. He's a big threat. But can he talk his way out of it?
Can he talk his way out of it? And how much can he charm these people over? I think for Spencer, not only is he, I believe, on the business end of old school versus new school, he's also the youngest person in this cast by a wide margin. That he's 22, the second youngest people on this tribe. He's a mature 22, but the second youngest people in this game are Sierra and Joe, who are 26. And on the other tribe, the second youngest person on his tribe is Kelly Wentworth, who's 29.
Yeah.
Like that's a big, it's a big age gap.
He's a baby.
He's a young lad.
He's an infant.
He's the young lad. And so I feel like that is a tough spot for him to come into as the youngest person in this group. And also somebody who could potentially have the biggest target on his back out of this group.
Yeah, I feel like someone like Terry isn't really going to respect Spencer as a voice.
Like if Spencer is coming in and trying to, like, you know, sell Terry on stuff, or sell Jeff Varner on something, or, you know, somebody like Kelly, like, I feel like they're going to say that.
Listen, little boy.
Yeah. I feel like it's an uphill battle for him. And unless one of these guys, like, now maybe Terry says, I want to take Spencer under my wing.
Yeah.
But Terry's with Jeff Varner, and Jeff Varner says, I want Spencer out. I think Spencer could win the game.
Yeah.
So I'm worried a lot about Spencer. Mr. Survivor.
I think you should be worried about our Mr. Survivor.
I'm very worried about Mr. Survivor.
Yeah.
He also has Wu on his tribe, which I think is also particularly of note, because what is the relationship like between Wu and Spencer? We remember, obviously, when they played together in Survivor Kagyan, and they had moments like when Wu stole the Hidden Immunity Idol clue and was like Sonic the Hedgehog running away from Wu, running away from Spencer. And of course, we remember that.
Yes.
But also, I remember, because I just watched it like 2 weeks ago, at the final Tribal Council, when Spencer stood up in front of everybody in that season and said, don't vote for Wu, vote for Tony.
Yeah.
Wu was like Tony's dog, and he came to him whenever his master told him to play fetch. And if I'm Wu, maybe that's burning a little bit of a hole, something in my craw? Sticking in my craw. Yeah, that's totally sticking in my craw, man.
I feel like Wu's over it.
Wu's over it?
He's okay. Over it.
Well, we'll talk about Wu.
Woo.
So, also, Spencer says that he has a pregame alliance with Jeff Varner. That's not good either.
No, you don't.
Because Jeff Varner said he wants to take him out first.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I've not seen anything that's making me feel pumped up for the young lad.
Yeah, I'm drawing a sad face.
Unhappy face. I think they've got to win immunity, because I don't know who it's...
Luckily, I think that they're gonna win immunity.
Well,
I think
they need it. They need it. And Spencer,
no, Spencer needs them to win immunity.
And Spencer, he's somebody who has been a asset in the challenges in the past. And hopefully he is, to the degree where they say, we can't get rid of this guy. He's so good. He's been so good in the challenges.
That's what he'll have, that these guys will like.
But he was an asset in the team. And he also won 3 individual immunities as well. So, but he was an asset on the Luzon tribe, which was one of the worst tribes in Survivor history. Mm-hmm. And, you know, compared to Cass and Jatia, he's an asset in the challenges. But if you have Terry and you have Vetus and you have
Wu...
Yeah,
maybe it was who he was playing with.
And you have Kelly Wigglesworth on this group.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how much of an asset Spencer is. I am very, very concerned.
Yeah, sad face.
For the young lad. Let's take some questions on Spencer. This is from Jen Manning. Will the new number advantage from Kagyan cause Spencer to be a target early on? Do you see him working with Cass, Wu, and Tasha? Now, that's the other thing, Nicole. There's 4 people from Survivor Kagyan, and everybody's like, boy, I got to get rid of Survivor Kagyan people.
Yeah.
Got to take them out.
That would be smart, right?
Also, I'd love to get your take on this, Nicole. Jeff Varner has said that Spencer is guilty of doing something that he calls crotch framing.
What's that?
I don't know. Is he like doing like...
Is he checking out the goods?
I don't think he's checking out. I think he's like putting a frame around them, like a picture.
Around his goods, or...
I don't think he's going up to other people like putting
Wait,
his...
So Spencer's going up to himself and going like this?
I don't think he's going up to himself. I think he's standing in a certain way that's sort of like framing the crotch.
So he's showing off his own goods.
I believe so. I believe that according to Jeff Varner, I think in his book that he read, I believe it's a form of like peacocking.
What's peacocking?
I think you're trying to like, hey, I'm the man around here.
So it's like when a lion fights another lion, like they show each other their teeth.
I think so.
Something
I think
similar?
So. I think it's sort of like, hey, I'm the BMOC around here. What are you doing?
Spencer, I'm shocked at this.
Yes. Do you think he's guilty of crotch framing?
Oh, I've never seen it. I can't imagine. I mean, can he back that up?
I don't know. We'll have to look in the footage.
Is he like, I used to wear a belt here before Survivor?
Maybe he's showing the Mr. Survivor
belt.
Maybe that's where that was.
I could see that.
That's where the crotch framing came from.
I could see that.
Okay. I'm sure people will be screen grabbing any crotch framing going on.
And you send it to me.
Okay. Jeff Coaster, Rob, Spencer said he wants to idolize the older players on his tribe's strategy since he's a super fan and thinks that will help him. That's similar to what you did in All-Stars talking to Sue and Boss Rob. Could that strategy be his undoing too? I mean, I think that's better than going up against them. I mean, I think that, you know, if you can't beat them, join them. I think that that would be my strategy, my advice to Spencer of, you know, be Terry's best friend. Yeah. Be the Austin Carty of Survivor.
What does Terry want, Spencer?
I don't know.
The crotch framer to be his best friend.
I don't know. I would start sucking Terry's kneecaps right about now. Mm-hmm. And then Rachel says, in my opinion, Spencer was so well liked because he was an underdog the entire time. I think he could be a villain this time if he gets power. Could this be his season's Hero to Zero? Do you think that he could be like the JT in Heroes versus Villains?
I don't think he's going to get that opportunity.
Yeah. I don't think that could necessarily be the case, but I think that Spencer was so likable because he was the underdog going up against Tony and going up against Cass. And I think that he was such a fan favorite that season. But I think that a lot of it, in addition to being such a charming young lad, I think also had to do with just being the proverbial underdog time after time after time.
Yeah.
All right. Let's keep moving, Nicole. Here we go. It's Terry.
Terry.
Terry Dietz.
Yes.
Here we go, Nicole. So Terry Dietz is here and ready to go. What do you think about Terry?
Well, if it's true with his alliance with Jeff Varner that we keep talking about, I think it's pretty good.
You feel good about Terry Dietz.
But he's also older.
He's 55. He's the oldest player in the game.
How old was he when he played?
Well, I guess it was in Survivor Panama, which was, what, 2006? So I guess he was, what, like 46?
All right, so it's almost 10 years.
Almost 10 years.
I mean, I'm sure he's slowed down a little bit since then. The metabolism has slowed. His speed has slowed.
Yeah. I think that Terry is somebody who is still a phenomenal athlete.
I think he's still got it.
he's still got it. I mean, is he going to be the person that can win 5 immunity challenges after the merge? Probably not.
Maybe 3.
3. You think he's got 3 in him? Well, that's pretty good.
That's still pretty good.
And so here's Terry. He's back. Now, Terry played a very upfront game the last time around. And Terry actually was somewhat not great at deception and deal making.
I feel like people didn't like him.
People didn't like him because they wanted to vote him out and he kept winning immunity.
No, I mean like viewers didn't like
him. No, people loved
him. No, they loved him.
They loved Terry. Okay. Yeah. He was a hero.
Yeah.
Because he went up against Shane and Aris and all those guys and Sari, and they just wanted to vote him out every time, and they couldn't beat Terry.
Yeah.
And so Terry is somebody who's back, and I'm very excited to see Terry back. I think he's set up particularly well here with Varner, with Vetus, with Kelly. I don't think anybody's voting Terry out before the merge, but I feel like for Terry, does he have that second gear that he can go into post-merge when people are going to target him? Can he actually play the game? Now, he had an idol in his season where it wasn't that he never played it until the end of the game, but he had it in his back pocket the whole time. He wasn't able to flip the numbers around there for Terry. He made deals like the people, like he was offering like, hey, why don't you just come with me? And then you don't have to think about who to vote off for 2 weeks and stuff like that. It wasn't particularly compelling. Do you think that Terry has an upside this time around?
I think it's possible.
Yeah.
But remember Colby?
Yes.
How he was so good and then he was so bad.
You feel like Terry could be like the Superman in a fat suit this time around?
I think it's possible.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of everything here.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where we go from here. But
I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think so either. What do you think is the upside for Terry?
I think that they win all the challenges. He makes the merge. And I don't think he's going to win.
Yeah. For Terry, I think it's going to be really fun to watch because he's talked about going to have a little bit more deception in his game. Josh Wigler wrote an article about Terry today and talked about how Terry is going to try to be deceiving more. And I wonder if you don't have that gear and you try to do it and it comes out bad, is that a, are you changing something that wasn't necessarily broken? Like, it, should Terry be even talking about doing that?
No, he also talked about not being such a challenge beast and toning down his performance in the challenges.
Yeah. And is that a case of, is it like dance with the girl that you brought there? Or are you, should you, a leopard changes spots? How many analogies and metaphors can I put in one sentence?
Yeah, but you know what? All of the so-called challenge beasts from seasons past have also said that, you know, I'm going to tone it down. I'm not going to win everything. I'm not going to be as great as I usually am.
And then Abby Maria wins immunity. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that they have it in them to be able to do that.
All right. So Terry is making the merge?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's take some questions from you guys. Oh, Josh Wiggler says, or Jake Larson says, does Terry...
Too much Josh Wiggler on the brain, buddy.
It was on the screen, Nicole. Does Terry have any moves of his own after a potential swap without Varner to help? Could Terry be targeted pre-merge in some sort of swap scenario?
I think that most people would be happy to have him on their tribe.
I do think that Terry has a little bit of the thing where it's like, well, if we get to let Terry get to the merge, probably, like, if he ends up in a situation where if you think the merge is coming, maybe it's a good idea to get rid of Terry.
Yeah.
You could see Terry out before the merge. I don't think it happens, but it could see it. Rachel wants to know, I don't see Terry playing differently than he did the first time. Who do you think is destined to repeat past mistakes?
What do you think?
Who's the person that's destined to repeat a past mistake?
Oh, this thing is hurting.
What is the thing that you're referring to?
These
because
headphones.
The people on the audio version are not going to know what you're talking about.
These headphones are like killing my ear.
Okay. I would say if anybody is doomed to make a past mistake, boy, I'll say Joe Anglin. There you go. All right.
Why? You think he's just going to win challenges?
I think that he's going to have the same problems as the last time. But more on that to come.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move along because we are... Nicole, are you fading yet?
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right. We got to pick up the pace, though, because we're only 8 people in and we still have 12
we're,
more.
We're really...
12 more to go. But we've laid a lot of the groundwork for what we're going to talk about.
Yes.
All right. Vetus is here, Nicole. You've been waiting to talk about Vetus. Vetus 2.0.
Yes.
I have to tell you, Nicole, I watched Survivor Blood versus Water last month, and I came away very impressed with Vetus from the first time around, and I feel like I was very intimidated to play against Vetus if I would be one of these people. And if they watch that season, I can't imagine that they would want to keep him around for very long. But I'm not hearing that coming from the players too much of people super intimidated by Vetus.
You heard his name thrown around a few times.
A little bit, but not so much in terms of what he did in Blood versus Water. You've heard it a little bit like, Vetus, like a Shireen said, you know, some people think he's charming. I don't think he's that charming. I think Cass also said something about Vetus, but I didn't hear anybody talking about, boy, this guy is really good at the game. I'm very worried about him.
Yeah, that's true.
The two episodes of Survivor Blood versus Water where he goes and gets swapped to the other tribe, the tribe that not Todd Hanna, the other one, and he goes over Galong and he gets swapped over there, and when Laura B and Kat get voted out, boy, Vetus is playing his ass off over there.
Well, I think playing his ass off is actually what's going to be his downfall. Like, did you watch his video?
What about
he kind of seemed like a crazy person.
Why? How do you mean?
Because he's like, you just think about it all the time. You just want to play. You want to go back. And then you think of all these alliances. And he was just like...
I didn't think that was too much.
Oh, I did. I thought it was a bit much.
I mean, I think that that is probably an accurate depiction.
But he didn't talk about anything, any survivor. It was really just about, like... what it was like at home when just craving to come back. And I think that that tells you how hard he's going to play coming in.
Oh, yeah. Vita's going to play hard.
Yeah. And I don't think that that's a good thing for him.
Get out of his way.
I don't think that's a good thing for him.
Yeah, Vita's going to play hard and he's not taking any prisoners. And...
No, but he's going to be a prisoner because it's not going to work.
Yeah. Okay. So why? Why do you, well, who's going to stop him?
Well, I think you got... If he's not in this old school alliance, I think that they're going to be smart enough to take him out.
No, I think he's going to go with them.
Well, I didn't know about this alliance when I first heard that.
Well, again, who knows?
Yeah.
But who knows if Vetus is on board with
but
it?
But I could also see him going against them.
To go where, though?
I don't know.
I mean, as long as he stays in this tribe, he's not going to go and join Spencer and Shireen and Kelly Wentworth and Abby Maria. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
If this works out for him, this old school alliance, I think that kind of changes things. But if the tribes break up...
We think that there's going to be swaps along the way.
Yeah.
So
I think he is going to be the typical too hard, too fast, whoa, buddy, slow it down. Oh, wait, you're at Ponderosa now.
Okay. It'll be interesting to see what's going on with Vetus and just how tight Terry is going to work with Vetus, because it was an interesting line that I still remember from when I spoke with Terry in the Second Chance interviews. And I asked Terry about Vetus, and he said about Vetus, you know, Vetus is not his brother. Aris is a Division I athlete. Vetus is not his brother. Now, I don't know.
Vetus doesn't like to hear that.
Well, was Terry just trying to throw us off the scent at that time, or does he really believe it? Because everything in the pregame is that he sounds like he's saying that, oh, well, I really love to get that relationship with Vetus rekindled and get back to working with Vetus.
Well, he said that he only met Vetus once.
I know, but I don't buy that.
He said he met him once at the Survivor finale.
Well, I think...
He's Aris's brother, so that's why he wants to align with him.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, I feel like there's no chance that Terry and Vetus didn't talk at least once before the season started. So I don't know if Terry's already working on deceiving us more, but there absolutely is no chance these people weren't talking.
They were definitely talking, but he said they only met once.
They only met one. Okay, fine. But did they have what do you count meeting? Is this is a conference call?
Skype? Does that count?
All right. But in terms of who is coming for Vetus, we've heard a lot of the women in terms of Cass, I believe, mentions him. Shireen mentions him. PG even says Vetus, potentially.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the girls flip the switch here.
But will the girls can't flip the switch here because Kelly Wigglesworth is with the guys. And I feel like that's a tall order for Kelly Wigglesworth, Abby Maria, Kelly Wentworth, PG, and Shireen to come together and make an alliance.
And girls can't typically get along to begin with, and especially these girls that are so different from each other.
That's going to be a tall order. Yeah. That's a big ask. All right, let's take...
You say a big ask.
No, it's not. Let's take some questions. Drew wants to say, what are the chances we get Vetus and Sierra form a blood versus water alliance?
It's possible. That's possible because I think Sierra knows that she's got a lot of people coming after her.
Yeah, I do think that there's a thing about people from the same season are probably a little wary of reuniting with the other people from their season because they don't want to be targets.
Yeah.
This is from Jen Manning. Is Vetus more likely to manipulate the women again in the season, or will he bro down with the men on his tribe?
I don't think he's going to be manipulating these women.
Yeah, I don't know if there's going to be a woman, but Vetus is really good. I mean, he had like Laura Boneham like eating out of the palm of his hand back in Survivor Blood versus Water.
She eats out of Rupert's hands. Come on.
All right. On that note, Vetus is making the merge or not, Nicole?
I think because of the way his tribe is set up and his so-called alliance, I think that he will make the merge.
I agree. I think Vetus is making the merge. Let's go to our next
person.
But
I don't think he's going to win.
All right. Wu Huang, Nicole. Wu is back.
Woo! Ninja stealth mode.
Ninja stealth mode. Wu is here. And Wu is ready to go. Wu, in my mind, made potentially one of the biggest mistakes in Survivor history.
taking Tony to the final.
When he had a choice to take either Tony or Cass to the final two, and he chose to sit at the end of the game with Tony.
Yeah.
I think that Wu must realize that that was a big mistake.
I don't think he realizes his mistakes.
Well, is Wu in denial that that was a mistake?
I think that he saw something different than what we saw on TV.
And so for Wu, I think he comes into this game in a very interesting spot.
Yeah.
How does he come back from that? How do you come back from the walking away from it like, boy, you know, I really blew it last time. I had the one decision to make. All I had to do is pick this one thing to do. And if I would have picked the other thing, I would have won the game. Does he come into this game trying to overcorrect that mistake?
I don't think he does that.
You think he's just back to your head in the clouds? Do-do-do.
I do.
Woo-woo-woo.
And I think that he said something. He's like, well, we'll see if I have to go to the dark side or does morality win. We'll see what happens. So I don't think that he's going to change his game.
Okay, so you think that Wu returns as the same Wu 1.0. I think that's what he should do.
I think that is what he's going to do.
Now, does Wu come back in the second time around? Does Wu try to be Wu again, or does Wu try to be Tony?
I don't think Wu has it in him to be Tony.
I agree, but does he try to be Tony?
I don't. Well, he did say he wants to play more aggressive.
I would not do that, Wu.
I don't think he can.
It was fine pretty much the way it was last time, Wu.
Just one decision.
just at the end, with Cass instead of Tony.
Yeah.
So for Wu, I think that's going to be...
Wu, just be you. That's it.
I think this is very compelling, the Wu storyline. I wasn't super pumped up on Wu being named to the cast, but yeah. I've come
people
around.
People love him.
Some people do love Wu. But I think I'm very attracted to seeing how this plays out for Wu. Because I think that I'm always fascinated by... how do people deal with that adversity?
Yeah.
Like, what does it look like when you make this horrible mistake and then have another shot at it? What is that? How does that play out?
I think
does
most people...
does he overcorrect it? Does he do nothing?
I think most people would overcorrect it, but I don't think it's going to happen in this case.
Yeah.
I think Wu is who he is.
So for Wu, if there is some sort of old school, new school thing going on, do you think that Wu... ends up sticking with the new school people, or
no.
Does he hang out with the old school people?
I think that the old school people are like, listen, this guy is loyal. He's a good person. Mm-hmm. We grab him.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think that Wu...
and I think the girls will try to do the same thing. It's just, who is he going to go with?
Yeah. I think that he... I mean, Wu was not a flirt with the women in Kageyama. I believe that Wu is...
So do you think he could resist the temptress, Abby Maria?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
Wu talked about that he was going to get engaged in the Kageyan finale to Christina. I forget the last name. No. And so that Wu is spoken for.
Yes.
So I don't think that he's going to have a showmance with anybody.
No.
And so for Wu, I do think that he's always like, whether it's Cliff Robinson, whether it's Tony, like there is a bro that picks up Wu and say like, that could be Terry.
Yeah.
It could be Vetus.
It could be Jeff Varner.
I think that I don't see Jeff Varner and Wu as a combo.
But I could see Jeff Varner say he's the one we have to get.
Yeah,
Wu.
Terry, go get Wu.
Yeah.
I mean, but I think that Spencer is going to be like, Wu, come with us.
Yeah.
New school.
Yeah.
Wu school. We'll see. Wu making the merge, Nicole?
Yeah.
Okay. I agree.
So far, like, this entire tribe is making the merge.
Okay, let's take some more questions here. Let's go to TJ wants to say, do you think that Wu and Wigglesworth were bond over their shared final three immunity but wrong pick for the decision? Kelly Wigglesworth did not make the wrong decision.
In what?
Of taking Rudy to the end.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Kelly Wigglesworth was going to lose to either of those guys. She did not. Kelly Wigglesworth did not make the wrong decision in Survivor Borneo.
Yeah.
Okay. Dan Smith says, Wu equals no.
Okay.
Sorry about that, Wu. R. Philly says, I feel like it's almost irrelevant if Wu plays the same or not. What's more important to him is how other people think he will play now. What do you think of that?
Yeah.
Who will try to be the new Tony?
Who will try to be the new Tony?
Yes.
Hmm. I don't know. Maybe Varner.
Varner will. And, I don't think that Wu looks at Varner. It has to be like a...
Oh, you mean... Okay, I see what you're saying. Who is his new Tony?
Yeah.
Who's new Tony?
Who's going to try to be the person that takes Wu under their wing?
I think Terry. Yeah.
Okay. But we'll see if Terry can do it. All right. So that is it for the Takeo tribe. We're halfway there, Nicole.
Halfway there.
Halfway home. All right. So let's go ahead and before we jump into talking about the Bayon tribe... You ready for that, Nicole?
Yes, I am.
All right, before we get into talking about them, let's just real quick, just want to set this up that I want to thank all of the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast, the people that allow me to talk about this nonsense as my full-time job. Thank you guys so much. We are getting ready for another big season of Survivor podcasting and very excited about that. If you want to find out more about becoming a patron, you can go ahead and become my boss. When you go to robhaswebsite.com/patron.
You're not the boss of me.
Yes, no, the patrons are the boss of me. If you'd like to become my boss and get in on this monthly patron cast where I take your calls, the Facebook group, and also I'm going to start doing a lot more stuff with the patrons over the next week or so to try to make up for all the time I was recording Evolution Strategy this summer. I want to make it up to them for not being around a ton this summer. So we've got a lot of stuff planned next week. A lot of patron appreciation going on between now and the start of the season. If you want to find out more about that, robhaswebsite.com/patron. All right, Nicole, here we go. Andrew Savage on the Bayon tribe.
Savage.
Yes. Savage Garden. I knew.
They sang your favorite song.
Yes. I knew I loved you, Andrew Savage, before I met you.
Oh, dear. I hate that you know that.
All right, here we go. Andrew Savage. Boom. Nicole, here he is. He's back from the Pearl Islands. A lot of people thought maybe Andrew Savage would never play Survivor again, but they were wrong.
I think even he thought that.
Yes. He got screwed over by the Outcast tribe twist, but here he is, and he's back and ready to go. And boy, Andrew Savage has a lot of thoughts about the game.
Yeah.
He is really all about keeping the people that he feels like are the honest people with integrity in the game. It seems like the Savage mantra is to not get screwed over by anybody who's untrustworthy. So he wants to find the people that have demonstrated being people that you cannot trust.
But isn't that the game of Survivor? That's everybody.
Well, he feels like if you played a trustworthy game the first time around, then you can stay and be in the alliance. But if he feels like that you were a little shady the first time around, you must go. He does not want you in the game.
I think some people didn't get a chance to be shady, and they will be.
Well, I think that's a little bit of a gamble because that implies, and again, I'm guilty of this in some of my judgments of people, but it's a little bit to say that the way a person played the game the first time is automatically the way that they are going to play the game a second time.
Yeah.
And I don't think that the history of Survivor playing a second time is always that case.
Yeah.
That people don't always do what they did the second time around. So we saw that he played with guys like Rhino and Austin the first time around. So he likes to have his bros around. He also was with women like Tawana and Dara, who were part of his alliance. And he kept that Morgan tribe pretty solid. So
yeah, it was a strong tribe.
It seems like that's the same kind of game that he wants to build. He wants to build a group, take that group into the merge, and then basically pagong the other group. Seemingly like that's he just wants to play the typical bring it back to basics. And I think that also speaks to this battle of old school versus new school as well.
Yeah.
Where he doesn't want to get involved with flipping and anything that's going to be sort of like out there in terms of strategy. I think he wants to keep it simple, stupid. That's what he's looking for.
Yeah.
Now, for Andrew Savage, I didn't hear. Or I should say that there is an interesting rivalry brewing between Andrew Savage and the person that he wants out of the game and somebody else who seemingly would like to have Andrew Savage out of the game.
And who's that?
Andrew Savage has his eyes set on Stephen Fishback as the person that he wants out of the game. Or as he calls him, Stephen Fishbach. And he wants Stephen Fishbach out of the game.
He makes Stephen fancy.
Yes. Stephen, in turn, says that he most wants Andrew Savage out of the game.
Well, Steven's a smart player to recognize.
Yes, but Andrew Savage has said in his interviews, I believe even with Josh Wigler, maybe with other in other places, that the reason why he wants to target Steven so much is because...
He's a know-it-all?
No, because that he went on the Survivor Wiki, and on the Survivor Wiki, it says that Steven is a very untrustworthy player and somebody who isn't loyal, and you need to... he's a mastermind of the game. Basically,
so
has a badass.
Has he seen Steven play?
I don't know if he went back and watched Steven's season.
So his way of studying was going on the Survivor Wiki.
But he went on with the Survivor Wiki. Now, and believe me, I love the Survivor Wiki. Nobody is on the Survivor Wiki more than me. But I don't think that you should base your pregame assessments of who to target off of the Survivor Wiki.
Or at least admit it.
Well, you shouldn't admit that
you shouldn't admit that's what you...
Because in the case of Steven Fishback, while he is a heady player,
yeah,
you could argue that Steven Fishback's biggest flaw as a player was a blind loyalty to JT.
Yeah.
That you could argue that that was one of the things that Steven needed to fix going into Survivor Second Chance. Mm-hmm. So to say that the reason to get rid of Steven is because he's untrustworthy, I don't know if this... I mean, who did he betray? Coach and Tyson? And Debbie from the other alliance? I mean, yeah. He made an alliance on the first day of the game with JT and stuck with it all the way through, even though by the end of it, it was not to really his best interest to stick with JT all the way through.
Yeah.
I guess did they vote it off Taj at 4 instead of 3? Was that how they were unloyal? So I just feel like
asking the wrong person.
So I feel like that's not the best way to scout people is on the Survivor Wiki.
So has Savage watched a season since his?
I believe so. I believe he still watches the show.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a interesting battle to watch, because also like Andrew Savage famously took out Skinny Ryan early on. Yeah. But Steven Fishback is that why?
Because he thinks he's Skinny Ryan.
I don't know if he sees him as the new Skinny Ryan, but Steven is no Skinny Ryan. I mean,
he's not that skinny.
I mean, I would think he's not. He's somebody who could help your tribe. I mean, he is not a person who is a weakling by any stretch of the imagination.
And he's a smart guy.
Yeah. So I feel like that is a little bit premature to target Steven early on, but that's what he wants to do.
You're just defending him because he's your friend.
I guess I'm a loyal person.
Yes,
also.
I was just going to say that is your weakness.
No, but that being said, I question the move to go after Steven first of all these people.
Yeah.
In this group. But I do feel like he has the numbers. I don't feel that great for Steven on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like with Andrew, I think that it sets up well for him.
This is not an evenly weighted tribe.
You think which tribe is better?
I think there's a lot of muscle on the knockout tribe.
You like the TKO tribe more.
I think there's more muscle there.
See, I disagree. I feel like that they are pretty evenly matched.
You do?
Yeah, why? Who's the weak member of Bayon?
Dale.
Hey, Keith? I don't know if everybody is on top of your humor.
Yeah. And besides Tasha, I mean, the rest of the girls aren't, you know, the strongest.
Well, if you want to get into that, but in terms of like the... I think that the tribes are pretty fairly weighted.
Yeah. Okay. I don't agree.
Okay. But... For Andrew, like I feel like that Steven, whose best friend was JT in the game, like I feel like that he could. I think that what Steven excels at is that I think that he can get along with the bros, and he could also get along with the nerds. I think that's one of his skill sets.
Yeah,
he's the.
Are you a bro or a nerd?
The nerd. Yeah, I think he's sort of in the middle of that Venn diagram. I think if a bunch of nerds got together, Steven would be the coolest guy in the nerds. And then if a bunch of bros got together, I mean, he might be the nerdiest guy in the bros. That's why he's a good...
I think you're the coolest guy in the nerds.
Oh, come on. You know what to say just to me. But then, so I think that's premature to get rid of, to go after Steven.
Savage, don't make fun of Rob's friends.
I don't think he made fun of anybody.
Don't talk bad about Rob's friends.
He also has a weird thing with Cass going on now. Again, he's out on Cass, but Cass like has a crush on Andrew Savage also.
What?
Yeah. That's weird.
Cass. Simmered down.
I don't know. So I don't know. Maybe
take a shower.
Maybe she's trying to warm up to Andrew Savage.
Really?
So I don't know. So Andrew Savage, I think that he's set up well though.
Okay.
Because I feel like he's going to be able to bro down with Jeremy. And for Andrew, I think he's going to get along better with Joe. I think he's going to look at Joe and like, oh boy, Joe, he reminds me of a young version of myself.
But that hair.
Yes. So I think that he's going to do okay with Joe, but he seems very fixated on Steven.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Merge or pre-merge for?
He's definitely making the merge.
Yeah, I think he's definitely making the merge as well.
Yeah. All right.
John Johnson says, I think Andrew can win by playing a Sandra game. No, Andrew does not play the Sandra game. Andrew does not play anybody but me. Andrew plays, this is exactly who it has to be.
Yes.
It's not me, it's Steven.
Yeah, this is the guy that Jeff had a crush on for years. I'm not changing.
Well, they're bros.
Yeah.
They were bros. Okay, RJ Tarb says, who will last longer in the game, Steven or Savage? I mean, I think if you put a gun to my head, I think the answer is Andrew Savage.
I would say Steven.
You think Steven's going to go further than Andrew?
I think Steven is smarter than Andrew Savage.
Well, this is nothing about smart.
No,
and Andrew Savage is a smart guy.
But he's no Steven.
But who has allies? That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
I think that Andrew's going to have the numbers much, much more than Steven is. But more on Steven to come.
Yeah.
Not to say Steven's a moron. Okay, Jeff Coaster. So Steven Fishback is the new skinny Ryan for Savage. Why can't those two team up? I don't know. Andrew Savage says he read on the wiki that Steven
is... Damn, that wiki!
Yeah, somebody changed the wiki.
It's the wiki's fault.
If I ever go play Survivor again, change the wiki before I go.
Someone's going to be like, Rob Sestrino is the greatest Survivor ever.
Change the wiki.
On wiki.
All right. And Rachel, let's be honest. Did Savage get screwed by the Outcast twist, or did he get screwed because he treated some people with little to no respect and they happened to re-enter the game? Has he learned his lesson?
Negative.
Well, why didn't they bring me back? Yeah, why didn't they bring Lil back? All right. So Andrew Savage, I feel good about Andrew Savage in the game, especially if we get this old school, new school thing. If he can get to the merge with Terry, with Jeff Varner, I do think that there could be an old dogs thing happening.
Yeah.
With Kelly Wigglesworth. Like, I really do feel like that old school is tighter than new school.
Yeah.
I think that's okay. I think that's a thing. All right. Let's keep going. Here's Sierra Easton. And boy, when I watched Blood vs. Water, I came away very impressed with Vetus.
Yes.
And I also came away very impressed with Sierra.
Yeah.
Sierra, I think, is a very underrated player, Nicole.
I think that... I don't think she's underrated. I think people love her.
You think she's properly rated?
I think she's
Sierra.
Properly rated, yeah.
I think she's underrated because I think that all people remember about her is that she voted out her mom and she picked rocks at the final six tribal council. It's Survivor Blood versus Water.
I vote out my mom. I don't think it's a big deal.
No. But that being said, with Sierra, she did a lot of other subtle things that nobody remembers, and she did them really, really well.
She was very strategic.
Yeah, there's this one point where she tricks Katie Collins into telling her that she doesn't have the hidden immunity idol.
Well,
come on. And so she's really, really, she had to play a hard game from the start. She was there with Brad Culpepper. If she ends up being too much in Brad Culpepper's face, Brad Culpepper's going to vote her out. She is somebody, she played with really, really good players her first time around. She played with returning players, and the returning players always raised the bar. So she played in her first season a game that was probably harder than a lot of the other people played on their first time, because especially these people that played in like the early season, like she just played at a speed that was set to a higher level because of the returning players that were in the mix, that she was playing against people like Tyson, playing against people like Tina Wesson, playing against a Big Brother winner in Hayden Moss. So she's playing and keeping up with those guys in her first time around.
She really did.
Her mom is a two-time player, so it's much more, I think, ingrained in her than a lot of these other players.
For me, playing with your mom is just difficult.
That's difficult. That's difficult. And it really depends on who your mom is.
Yeah.
And so I think for Sierra, my concern is that she was got so much patted on the back for, now that's how you play the game, Sierra, of like picking the rocks and making big moves. And I worry if she comes out and tries to make big moves, she will be voted out early.
I think that people are, they're already gunning for her.
You think so?
Oh, definitely. And they said it in their interviews that they're scared of her. And that's, you know, I guess that's a good thing for her. I mean, she did something right, but that's, it makes it harder.
That's concern number one about, is she going to be trying to make big moves? And concern number two is what you're alluding to, is if Andrew Savage is somebody who's sort of calling the shots on this tribe, and his fundamental law in the game is, if I feel like you were untrustworthy, or if I read on the Survivor Wiki something about that you are untrustworthy,
and you have a, and you don't have a wiener.
What are you talking about?
He likes bros.
But he, I mean, he was in an alliance with Tawana and Dara. I mean, let's not get into stuff that's a rabbit hole. But in terms of if Andrew Savage feels like, boy, that was particularly untrustworthy when you voted out your mom.
Yeah.
He could see to it that Sierra goes home.
I think, I'm sorry, Sierra. I think you're great, but I don't think you stand a chance.
Wow. See, I'm much higher on Sierra than you are.
But I think that it's because she's a good player that people are, like, everybody has mentioned Sierra. She voted out her mom. Like, I think that that's...
I mean, I think that that's a concern, but I don't think that she's one of the five most targeted people on the season.
I think, you know, she's lucky she has, you know, a few of these tribe mates to take the attention off of her.
I think that on paper, like, oh, well, she voted out her mom. I think when you're sitting there and you're on the beach with these people, I don't think that you see Sierra and I was like, oh my God, what a threat. We got to get
rid of her.
And
I'm sure she's much more personable.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that I would say is that I feel like I don't know if it was Jeff Varner or somebody that I've read in somebody's interview that felt like that she was being a little standoffish at the and she turned a couple people off in the Ponderosa. That I didn't like.
She was probably nervous.
Yeah, smile more.
Yeah.
So I am high. I am pretty high on Sierra.
I am high on Sierra, the person, the player.
Yes.
But I don't see her making the merge.
Okay. All right, let's take a couple questions. This is from Rachel. Let's be honest. Okay, that's a Savage question. If we don't have any if we don't have any Sierra questions, we move on. All right, Jen wants to know, will Sierra's big move in 27 be her downfall this season, or will people still think of her as young and naive? According to Nicole, she says that they will not think of her as young and naive.
No.
Yeah. Hard to forget that move, but I mean, ultimately it's like, oh, well, she voted out her mom.
And it's still pretty fresh.
But what does that even mean? Like, oh, she voted out her mom. But it was like, if you really know,
I don't think it's a big deal. I'd vote out my mom.
But it wasn't like she blindsided her mom. Her mom was a willing participant in the whole thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it's not like, oh my God, she blindsided her mom and now her mom isn't even speaking to her anymore. You know, it wasn't that big a deal. It was a bigger TV moment than it was.
It's a bigger deal to say than it actually was.
Yeah. She, if anything, she proved she was loyal to her alliance. She was so loyal to her alliance. She was willing to vote out her mom.
Although in the beginning, in our preseason assessment, you did say, who's going to vote out their loved one? No one. You were very adamant. No one is going to vote out. And she was home.
This you
and
remember.
She was laughing. Okay.
Yeah.
She was laughing at you.
Okay, fine. Nobody, you know how many things I get wrong on these things? That nothing I said tonight is going to even be to happening. Everybody wasted their time tonight watching this.
Sorry.
But so we don't know. We're guessing stuff. But I think if I was Sierra, I think I would say, like, I showed Tyson and Jervis and Monica that I was loyal to them by voting out my mom.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's your selling point.
I was willing
point.
To vote my mom out for the alliance.
Yep.
Not against it.
Yes.
All right. Let's keep moving, Nicole. How you doing?
Although she did say that Survivor, going back to Survivor, is like being pregnant.
Yes, and she did say that. And look at you.
And I disagree.
It's almost like you're a Survivor now.
Yeah.
Okay. Next. Oh, Jeremy Collins.
Jeremy.
We love Jeremy Collins.
We do love Jeremy.
Yes. Okay.
These guys are so dumb.
Here's Jerry.
Is he saying that about us?
Yes. Yes. He's shouting that at his computer right now.
Yeah.
Jeremy Collins is back. I just watched Survivor San Juan del Sur last week. Pumped up for the return of Jeremy Collins.
Wife also pregnant.
Wife is also pregnant. I feel like me and you are a lot like Jeremy and Val.
I think so too.
Especially when Val was saying about Jeremy that she really wanted to beat him in the game on the first day. And he went right into the challenge against her. Yeah, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
But that being said...
And we're due around the same time.
How is Jeremy going to fare the second time around? Now, interestingly, he is back here with Keith Nail, who he started off really good. Firefighters are us. But then they got into a whole thing about Keith told everybody that he found that Jeremy had the idol, but then he didn't have the idol. And then Keith actually had the idol. And I don't know if that alliance or if that relationship was ever mended. And now here they are back on the same tribe. Now, here is where I think things get interesting with the Andrew Savage thing, because I think Andrew Savage, he talked about Jeremy Collins. He's like, oh, he seems like a great guy. Andrew Savage wants to work with Jeremy. Okay, great. Jeremy's a trustworthy guy. But now, who are the other people that Andrew Savage is going to want to pick up? Well, probably
not Stephen Fishback.
Not Stephen Fishback. So put him off to the side. So here's Joe. Okay, Andrew Savage is going to say, oh boy, that Joe, he seems like a nice young lad. He's so good in the challenges. So I think that he's going to like Joe. And then I guess Keith Nail is also going to be in there also. If you want to say maybe Tawana.
I think Tasha.
Yeah. So I think that he could, Tasha, and then perhaps...
Maybe Monica.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that.
Was Monica, did she screw people over?
And she didn't screw anybody over.
Yeah, so then Savage would like her then.
I guess so. She did play with Russell.
Pretty.
She did play with Russell. She's 1 degree of separation away from Russell.
So she's slightly dirty.
So if what I'm getting at is if Andrew wants to bring in Keith and Jeremy into this new
thing,
yes.
Yeah.
Is that going to work? Is Jeremy going to want to work with Keith under Andrew Savage?
Well, in fairness, I think that Andrew Savage would listen to Jeremy before he listens to Keith.
Yes.
And if Jeremy says, no, I don't want this dude in my alliance, here are the reasons, blah, 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 I think Savage would be like, okay.
But then who's in the alliance? Like, they don't have a ton of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where exactly they're going to go. So I think that Jeremy is going to have to work with Keith is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think that is going to have to happen. And Jeremy gets frustrated also. Jeremy gets frustrated. And
he's very passionate.
He's very passionate and he gets fired up. And
well, he's a fireman.
Yes. And like, there's a moment where the great Drew Christie is talking about how we got to vote out Kelly Wentworth. And, Jeremy's like, why? What are you even talking about? And he's like, yeah, man, we got to do it. And like, Jeremy like turns to John Mish and is like, hey, talk to your boy. And he like walks like he gets really agitated.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if Jeremy can walk that back.
Well,
a little
I'm
bit.
Sure talking to Drew Christie is
I'm sure it's frustrating. But I don't ever remember, Kim Spradlin walking off being frustrated talking to Kat. You got to hang in there.
Yeah. She just waited till the cat walked away.
Okay, but that's what you do.
That's what you do. I know.
That's what you got to do. You can't be walking away from these people. So, I don't know. Like you think Cass isn't going to push Jeremy Collins' buttons?
Yikes.
So, I think that he needs to and hopefully can be a little bit more, counting to 10 in his head. And not getting too upset. There's that tribal council where he ends up really getting into it with Keith about sub-alliances. And they really have it out at that Drew Christie tribal council. And I don't think that was great either.
Yeah.
So for Jeremy, I feel like he's a guy that has all of the skills necessary. But I'm very worried about his Achilles heel.
His head is a little hot.
Which I feel like, yes, I feel like he can get hot. Mm-hmm. He's going to run hot. So he needs to surround and drown that. I'm worried about that.
Yeah.
But I don't see why, if he couldn't fix that one thing, I don't see why he couldn't be the winner of the season.
I agree.
Okay. All right. Let's take some questions. John Johnson. Will Jeremy learn something from Natalie? What can he learn from Natalie?
To win.
Well, Natalie was able to really, like, Natalie was pissed about a bunch of things, including Jeremy getting voted out. And she was able to sort of just, like, act like she wasn't pissed off and then get her revenge served cold.
Yes.
Which is when it's most delicious.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. Let's take from our Philly. Jeremy says a huge obstacle was maneuvering around so many dumb players last time. Will his downfall be too many smart players? I actually don't really buy into that about the too many dumb players thing. I think that that is just going back to Kim Spradlin. Kim Spradlin didn't have a problem maneuvering around too many dumb players in Survivor One World.
Yeah.
So I don't think that too many dumb players is the problem. I think that dumb players in some ways can be easier than smart players. While they're a little more unpredictable, you can really sort of like
make the game easier for you.
I think so. I mean, if I had a choice, Rob, you could play the game against 19 dumb players or 19 smart players. Give me the dumb players. I'll take it.
Look at it,
you guys are so dumb.
I know. That's good. I'll take the dumb players.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily buy that. While I think it could be trickier, I do think that playing against the, I'll take the dumb players any day.
Yeah.
Jeremy Collins, merge or no merge?
Merge.
He's making the merge.
Yeah.
I think so. And so I feel good about Jeremy Collins. I'd like to see him just sort of be able to relax a little bit. Maybe Vetus could get him to meditate. Okay.
Yeah. I think Vetus needs to meditate.
Okay. All right. So then let's go ahead and move on to our next person. It's Joe Anglum.
Jojo, what do you know?
Joey, amazing. Nicole, we didn't really talk to you too much during Survivor Worlds Apart. What was your takeaway on Joe?
I don't get all the Joe hype.
You don't get the Joe hype?
Yeah. Like, yeah, he's good in challenges. But I didn't get all the Joe love.
All right. Well,
he's not my type.
Here's thank goodness. So, because we have nothing in common. So here's Joe. He's back. And, you know, I went back and watched Survivor Worlds Apart last week. And I was very excited because I said, you know, I don't really know a lot about Joe. I really want to learn a lot about Joe and what's going on with Joe.
And what'd you think?
I didn't really learn a lot about Joe.
You weren't that impressed either.
It's not that I was unimpressed. I'm just like, I don't really have anything. It's hard. Like, he was great in the challenges.
Right.
He seems like a nice guy. He makes fake idols. But other than that, I mean, that I didn't really get a lot about him from a personality.
Yeah. I think he's got a big head now.
Big head?
Yeah.
Are you sure that's not just the hair?
Well, he probably needs a haircut, too.
Yeah. And boy, for Joe, he's coming into this game with a target on his back. He had a target on his back in Survivor Worlds Apart. And then he comes into this season, and I think a couple things are working against Joe. One, Mike Holloway winning the final five out of the final six challenges in the game did not help Joe.
Yeah.
Because if you're a Survivor player and you get to the merge, like, well, Mike Holloway won the last five out of six immunities and won the game because they could never vote him out. We got to vote out Joe. Like, right. If Joe makes it to the merge, like, I can't imagine a scenario where people just don't vote him out anytime he doesn't have immunity.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
So I don't know necessarily. Like, if he was on a season, if you brought Joe back and he was on a season that was like a Rob versus Russell season and Joe is playing with a bunch of new players, maybe the new players wouldn't vote out Joe after the merge, but I can't imagine a scenario where the returning veterans don't vote out Joe anytime he doesn't have immunity after the merge.
They already got his number too. They know what Joe is all about, and they're going to take the first opportunity to vote him out. I think he's the first of the dudes to get voted out.
And second of all, you know, at the reunion show, they only spent a couple of minutes talking to the Worlds Apart people before they did the cast reveal. And Jeff Probst at the reunion show is like, hey, where's Joe? Where's Joe? Like, Joe, what's it like being so awesome? Like, what's that like? Is that cool?
And he's like, oh, well, you know.
Yeah, and he's like, so are women just coming up to you now? How does that work?
He's like, yeah, they are.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah. So everybody's like, yeah, screw this guy.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that is not really working for Joe. And also, Joe is talking about how this time around he's going to be more sneaky. I don't think that's a good idea either.
Yeah, Joe, what are you talking about?
He wants to be more sneaky.
And I'm a big threat, so I'm going to be sneakier.
Yeah, I'm going to be threatier.
Good idea, buddy.
And I don't see how that's going to work either. I feel like that Joe needs to follow the playbook that Malcolm did in Karamoan of, hey, I'm the new guy here. I'm just going to be on my best behavior. I'm not going to bother anybody.
He's no Malk.
And then Malcolm got himself in trouble with the hanging out with the three amigos after the merge, after Corinne got voted out. But before that, Malcolm was on his best behavior in the Stealth. He was in Stealth R Us. They didn't know him from a hole in the wall. Now, now people watch Joe's season, but I think that Joe needs to go, you know, suck up to Andrew Savage, be on his best behavior, be a nice gentleman to everybody.
Is he that personable also?
That I don't know.
I mean, we didn't really see that in the...
He seemed like he was nice with Nina, except when he told her not to be in the challenge because she couldn't hear them. But other than that, he was nice with her another time.
Yeah.
So I don't know about Joe. I don't feel good. I think Joe's pre-merge.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here we go.
High five.
Five. All right.
All right. Moving right along.
Let's take a question about Joe. Jake wants to know, with the second chancers coming straight from the finale to the island, how can Joe not be first on the target list? Well, I think that it's a little bit of Russian roulette with Joe, where it's like, boy, he's going to help us win challenges while he's here. Let's keep him around. How long can we keep him around for, though?
Yeah.
So I'd actually be surprised if Joe is one of the first two or three boots. I think he's probably right around that day 15 time slot.
I think they need to keep him around, but the quickest opportunity that they have that they can get rid of him, they will.
Yeah. So I think that Joe needs, but Joe can accelerate that by trying to be a villain early on. By Joe playing harder, that he can be going out in those single digit days.
Let's go for it, Joe.
Okay. Let's talk about, here's Cass. Chaos Cass is back.
Cass.
How exciting is this, Nicole? Chaos Cass is here.
I feel like there's two Casses.
There's two Casses.
Yes.
How so?
Because the cast that came to our house was very nice.
Yes.
I liked her.
Yes.
But the cast on TV, like, you just want to root against.
I don't know if you want to root against her on TV because, I love Cass on TV.
Yeah.
But she...
Well, yeah, you love watching her.
Love watching her.
Yeah.
But there is something that is about Cass that seems to rub people the wrong way. And... the thing that probably is frustrating for these other people is that Cass, after all these confrontations with people, seemingly always comes away from it like, I was just doing my thing. It wasn't even me. I just said that one thing and they went crazy.
Yes.
And it seems like time after time.
But I think she's changed. Do you know why?
Why?
Because she knows about twerking.
Twerking? Why? What? I have no idea what you're talking about. What does Cass know about
she
twerking?
She opened up her videos in my first season. I didn't know twerking. I didn't know tweeting. Now I know.
What videos did she open?
That was CBS.
That was the cold open.
Oh my God. Cass is going to twerk on Survivor. That would be fantastic.
That would be fantastic. She talked about how she's reading the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, but I feel like she's doing it as a joke. I feel like she's not taking it seriously. And that's a fantastic book to read before you get to Survivor.
She's looking at the pictures.
She came away from her first season with having fights with Garrett, Sarah, Morgan,
everybody.
Tasha,
everybody.
Spencer,
just name
Tony,
the entire cast.
Trish. I don't know about Wu. I think she's okay with Wu. But
I'm sure there was. They just didn't show it.
She didn't vote for Wu in the end. I don't know if he was happy about that. But I mean, that's over seven people. That's more than any of the Brains, Beauty, or Brawn tribe in their own.
Yeah.
Like, that is almost unheard of to come away from a season with that many conflicts with people. And at some point, you could say, oh, okay, well, that was just Trish. That was just Tony.
And how many... Twitter feuds did she get in with people?
A lot. And so that I feel like that this is not a good thing for Survivor, where the object of the game is to go and make friends, not to make new enemies. But Cass seems to make a lot more enemies with this thing.
But I think even if she tried, if she read the book, How to Make Friends and Influence People, I don't think that it matters. I think that she's doomed from the beginning.
She's coming into this game with bigger target. She is, I would say that it's...
If she twerks.
The target on Cass's back coming into this game is probably akin to the target on Russell Hance's back in Survivor Redemption Island.
Yes.
Like, it would not be out of the realm of possibility for a tribe to throw a challenge potentially to get rid of Cass. I think that is that we are certainly talking within that realm of possibility. And unless Cass turns over a whole new leaf, or a Leaf Manson, then I'm very worried about her in this game.
Yeah. Although she did say something that really kind of like struck a chord with me, was that she was talking about how everybody has like these strategies and what they're going to do, who they're going to target. And she's like, you know what? You can't let the wheel start spinning before you hit the mat. And I thought that was just, you know, a very insightful thing to say, even though I don't think it matters for her.
Well, for Cass, I do think that there could be a little bit of a thinking of where everybody's like, well, Cass is the first one to go.
Yeah.
So is it really smart to get rid of her first? And we're going to get rid of her next time anyway. So why don't we just, instead of the layup, let's vote out this person because we can get rid of Cass anytime.
She's not going to win anything.
And the thing is, if you don't trust Cass, if she's not in your alliance, then really, I mean, what's the harm of having her around? If anything, she's
and
just
you know
gonna,
she flips.
She's gonna flip. She's not with us. Hey, we could get Cass back on our side. At least that's somebody who we could possibly get back with us. And so she's a little bit like the Medallion of Power, I guess, where she's on the one
if you
side.
You win Cass,
yeah, and it's like, okay, well, you get her on your side. They're like, do we want to keep Cass or send her back to the other side, and then we'll get a small advantage. So I think that there could be some people like if they're the obvious thinking is get rid of Cass, and then it's more like, well, what do we do? So it's almost like I feel like that Cass's game is more in the hands of the other players, more so than what she can do in this game. Like, I don't think it's necessarily on, it's more about what Cass is going to be doing. I think it's more about what the perceptions of Cass is from the other players.
Yeah.
So I am worried about Cass, and I want her to stay around for a long time. You know, she's not a whiz in the challenges in terms of athletic performance, but she's really good at the puzzles.
Yeah.
And she's also somebody that she could potentially, if she's on the puzzle on the end of the first challenge and she wins it, and then I feel like maybe if we can get like an atta girl, like, okay, Cass. And she was on her best behavior early on in that Brains Tribe.
Yeah.
You know, she was being friendly with David Sampson, although Jatia asked her, who are you going to vote off? She said, well, I'm probably going to vote for you. That wasn't good. You don't want to do that.
But do you think Cass will be Cass for the sake of being Cass?
I'm a little...
Yeah.
I would love to see Cass come out and be at least the semblance of being a little bit more diplomatic, but I just feel like, you know...
I feel like she's just going to be like, all right, well, this is who I am, and I'm going to amplify it.
Yeah. The thing is that Cass doesn't amplify. There's no... The thing about Cass that's almost a magical X-Men type ability, like Cass on 10... is the same as Cass on 1. The thing is that she's always the same. She's a constant. You never see Cass yell.
Yeah.
You never see Cass get mad. She does it to you.
She's the worst person, type of person to fight with.
You could just be like Cass, why did you do that? Like, I didn't do anything. Like, yes, you did. You did, Cass. You did. It was you. You were the person. I don't even know what you're talking about.
You are like that.
I don't know
sometimes.
Why you're being. I don't know why you're being so crazy right now. Like, I'm not being crazy.
You say that to me.
Yeah. And so she does it to you. Like, she has like magical powers that she's always the same. She turns you
crazy
into the crazy person. Like, she puts you on 10. Tony is not speaking llama if Cass is not on that season. She does it to you.
All right, we're running out of time.
Okay, all right. Nicole's giving me the hurry up. All right, so let's take a question on Cass. Ashley says, do you think anyone is actually going to trust Cass and want to include her in alliance? No, right? But she could be a swing vote, potentially.
I don't think she'll be in an alliance, but I think she'll be included.
Yes. Look, if for whatever reason, I mean, she is the... If you were going to do a chalk pick, who's the first boot of the season... I think that Vegas would tell you it's Cass.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, if she's not, however it works out, somebody has a total goof in the first episode. And
or if someone's smart and keeps her around.
Yeah. She could be a swing vote.
Yeah.
Hunter Clark says, won't Cass and Abby Maria do well because almost everyone is talking about aligning with the targets? Well, they're on the opposite tribes. Yeah. I think Abby Marie is in a better spot than Cass is. Cass is in the worst spot. Of if you're going to rank the spots coming in, she's 20 out of 20, I think.
I think if you if they play logically, then they should keep Cass.
Yes.
But I think that they're just so gung-ho on getting rid of her that she's just gone.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Can't wait. Can't wait. Hope she stays around for a long time.
Yeah.
She's always good TV.
Yeah.
Love
Cass. We like Cass.
Okay. Keith Nail, Nicole.
Keith Nail. What is there to say?
As long as you keep burping, I guess you're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Keith Nail, as long as you keep burping, you'll be okay. Here he is. He's back. Stick to the plan. Keith Nail. Nicole, are you a Nail female?
I'm like indifferent to him.
You're indifferent to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't really stick out to me that much to be kind of on this back in the season.
Okay, well, a lot of people love Keith Nail. Of course, he has the recency bias from Survivor San Juan del Sur. He is why is that funny?
The way you said it.
Well, he does. He has the recency bias.
No, the way he said it, San Juan del Sur.
Yeah, and so Keith Nail is somebody who I think also has something really interesting about him. Not necessarily like Wu, where Wu has this huge mistake, but, you know, Keith has a pretty big goof of his own with the whole stick to the plan thing.
Yeah.
And while we all sort of like, chuckle, stick to the plan, I do get the sense that Keith is a little tortured about stick to the plan also.
Probably because he listens to RHAP and you guys are always talking about
it. I don't think he's listening a lot to...
Podcasts?
Yeah. I don't think he listens to a lot of podcasts in general, Keith Nail. But he is somebody who is really, I think he feels like, boy, if I didn't do that, maybe I would have won the game. And I think it sort of bums him out. And I think the fact that like people like see him, like he talks about like in the reunion show, but like, I'll go to the firehouse and they're like, hey, Keith, stick to the plan. And he doesn't make him feel good.
Yeah.
And so I think that he feels like that he kind of blew it last time.
That's like Jon Snow, the real Jon Snow in real life. They come up to him and call him the bastard, and he doesn't like that.
Yeah. Well, why would he? But I think also on top of that, stick to the plan, it also was the same tribal council that Wes got voted out.
Yeah.
So he feels like, I think I goofed, my son got voted off, and I missed my chance to win $1 million and really improve the lives of my family.
Okay, well, now you got another chance.
And he has another chance. But how does he, because I feel like that what Keith was doing, other than the stick to the plan thing, like, I feel like what he was doing was probably pretty good for Keith Nail. Like, I don't
think he good in the challenges?
He was good in the challenges. He was good in sort of like the, you know, balancing balls type things. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he should get too far away from what he was doing the first time around. And I think that like Natalie was able to coach him up for like, okay, say this, act like you're about to go home at this tribal council. And he was able to do a good job. And I worry about Keith, where if he gets away from what he did the first time around, I think it's going to be disastrous.
Yeah.
And I think he needs to stick to the plan this time as well.
Yeah.
I think as long as he keeps us burping, it'll be okay.
Yeah, just keep burping.
All right. Do you have any thoughts on Keith Nail?
I don't.
You're indifferent on.
Yeah,
on,
I don't have.
On Keith Nail.
Yeah.
So I feel like
I have written down is he says he can't believe he's here, and I said me too.
You would have preferred that Dale came
back.
I
was rooting for Dale.
Yeah. Okay. And so in terms of Keith being back, I really do feel like that. I think he has no problem working with Jeremy, but I don't know how thrilled Jeremy is about working with him. Mm-hmm. So we'll see ultimately if he can figure something out here. I think that Keith's scenario would probably be similar to what he was in San Juan del Sur to ultimately win the game, where get to the end, keep his nose clean, don't piss anybody off, and sit next to somebody who is unlikable. If he was sitting next to, say, you know, Missy at the end of the game, and potentially even, you know, Jacqueline, you know, I think that all of those guys that are up there, I think are going to be voting for Keith.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have any Keith questions, and we're starting to run out of time. So let's move into talking about Kimmy Kappenberg, Nicole.
Kimmy Kappenberg.
Can you believe that we're talking about Kimmy Kappenberg?
No, I can't.
Back on Survivor.
We used to talk about her a lot back in the day.
Why didn't we talk about Kimmy Kappenberg?
Because she was from Long Island.
I didn't even know you when she was on Survivor.
I know, but we still would talk about Survivor and you would talk about Kimmy Cavenberg.
What did I say?
Don't
remind
be a jerk.
Remind me, what did I say about Kimmy Cavenberg?
You think I was paying attention that much?
All right. It's getting late. So, Kimmy Cavenberg, in my mind, I believe that she is the person probably with the least amount of, forget amount of days, because I don't know who was there longer, her or Kelly Wentworth, but she played like 15 days at a time when the game was much simpler.
Uh-huh.
She went to two tribal councils. She voted off Deb Eaton, and then she got voted off.
Yeah.
So for Kimmy Cavenberg, I mean, this is almost kind of close to playing her first time. I mean, she had a taste of Survivor, but she really didn't play this game at all.
And she got Alicia'd.
Yeah. And then she also got into the fight with Alicia, and that was with Jeff Varner. But I think that Kimmy Cavenberg is going to be a intriguing story to watch, because how is she going to fit in? Because I think that she's somebody who marches to the beat of her own drummer. I don't think that she really is going to be the kind of person that's going to fall in line with an Andrew Savage, like what he's doing in this tribe. But at the same time, she's got the old school calling card.
Yeah, and she seems really confident in her Survivor skills.
Yes. So you feel like she's overconfident?
I think a little overconfident.
What does she seem overconfident about?
About how she's going to do in the game.
Yeah. You know, a younger Kimmy Cavenberg did not get along well with authority in Mike Scoopin at the original Kucha tribe.
Yeah.
And she didn't want to take a bath in the river.
Why wouldn't you want to take a bath?
She said that that's where animals go to the bathroom.
Like Cass?
Like Cass.
Because Cass was talking about pooping in the ocean.
Okay. I don't know they are tribe mates. Okay. And so I'm not sure exactly how Kimmy is going to fall in line with if Andrew is running a tight ship here on Bayon.
Well, I could tell you how it's going to go. It's going to go something like the Alicia thing.
Okay. She's going to wag her finger in Andrew Savage's
face. She's
going
to be the finger wagger.
And how's that going to go?
It's not going to go well.
Okay. So I think that she does have the credentials for the old school group. And I feel like more so than any of these other people, like if Andrew is looking for numbers to bring in, and he's looking for old school, he's got Sierra, who's season 27, Cass, who's season 28, Monica, who's season 19, Tasha, who's season 28.
Do you have that written down, or is that in your memory?
That's in my memory.
Wow.
And so I think that for Andrew, the one familiar face here is going to be Kimmy.
Yeah.
So I think that she might be okay for a little bit, but I don't know how much longevity she's going to have in the game. Can she keep her mouth shut for a long time?
No, she's from Long Island.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
All right. Let's take some Kimmy questions. Do you have any other thoughts on Kimmy Cavenberg?
She looks nice in this picture.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take from Kimmy Cavenberg. Let's try this one. Dan Smith. Kimmy versus Cass, maybe. Do you think that's going to fight?
Oh, yeah.
You think it's going to happen?
Yeah.
And who you got in that fight?
Cass always wins.
Cass always wins because she stays cool, yeah, and the other person gets hot, and Kimmy Cavenberg is going to blow her top if that's a actual fight. Okay, let's go to Jen. Is Kimmy too annoying? Will her love for the chickens be her downfall? Does she still have beef with Jeff Varner? Jeff Varner said in his interview, at least with Josh Wiggler, that he is pro Kimmy.
Okay.
He sort of led people on that he doesn't like Kimmy.
Okay.
He'd like to keep Kimmy around in the game. I don't know how Kimmy feels about Jeff, but he is pro Kimmy.
Well, that's good. He's moved on.
Yeah. All right, Nicole, how are you doing on time?
The babysitter has to leave in like 3 minutes.
Okay, so you need to go?
Well, I don't want to go. I want to finish this.
Well, I don't know how we're going to finish this in 3 minutes. Yeah. So why don't you do it? Why don't you go? I'll take it from here.
Oh, but then you're not going to get my winner.
Okay, do you want to give us your...
Can I write down my winner?
You can write down your winner.
Okay.
So as Nicole is writing down her winner, we will move on.
All right, I'm going to try to come back if I can get the baby to fall back asleep.
Okay. All right, we'll keep powering through.
Okay.
That's what we do around here.
Okay.
All right. Let's go ahead and move on to our next person. And the next person up on the board is going to be, and it's after Kimmy, is Monica Padilla. And so Monica is somebody else who I thought that the interesting story about Monica was about how she played the game with Russell Hantz the first time around. And I think that there's going to be something that's going to be a positive to come out of that, because just going back to how Monica went out of the game in Survivor Samoa, it was something that she had a bit of a electricity, a spark to Monica's game at the end of her season. And for me, the story is going to be, how is that going to translate to this next season that she's going to play on? I also felt like Monica is somebody who comes into this game with a little bit of the Natalie Tenorelli thing that I was talking about around the time that we were doing the Second Chance interviews. And that is, that is Monica Padilla the least threatening person on the board who will win? Is she the Amber Berkich of this? Is she like the Sandra Diaz Twine? You know, is she the person who you least suspect that's going to win an All-Star season, that can she actually win the season? And so for Monica, it's really about two different things for me. Is she going to come in and be that firecracker that went up against and went tip top toes with Russell Hantz at the end of her run in Samoa? Or is she going to be that person that's going to be the under the radar player? And even from my conversation with Monica back in May, when we did the Second Chance interviews, I still don't have a good read on Monica and what's best for Monica. And I don't know exactly how she's going to fare. She's a tricky one for me. I think that one of the things that is working in her favor, or maybe to her detriment in this Bayon tribe, is that I always look at what season people played on and who's from the similar era of Survivor. And so Monica Padilla, she played in 19 in Samoa. And here's Stephen Fishback, who is in season 18. I feel like, and I don't have any knowledge of this, but I feel like at least Monica and Stephen, their paths must have crossed at some point. So I feel like that maybe that's a potential ally for Stephen or for Monica. But will she fit in with what Andrew's got going on? And I don't know. She played in her original season on the Galoo tribe, and they were a pretty functional tribe, at least in the pre-merge. She did not get along with Shambo, and that was a problem. And she was somebody who was not great in the challenges also. She actually cost Galoo a challenge because she was walking on the ropes too slow, I believe, when Yasmin got voted off. And so I don't know exactly if she has improved her challenge prowess, but I don't have a great read one way or the other on Monica. Another person who she could potentially align with in terms of just looking at the Bayon tribe is Sierra, where we have Laura Moret, who is Sierra's mom, who was a close ally of Monica over at Bayon back in Samoa. So I feel like that this is another person that she could potentially work with. And maybe we're starting to see the formation of some sort of counter alliance. What if you have Steven and maybe Monica and Sierra, and I don't know necessarily where, maybe, you know, Tasha could be a swing vote potentially, as maybe you start to link up a couple of these people. Don't really feel particularly great about this sort of insurgency, because I feel like the group that has the stronger people that are going to participate in these pre-merge challenges is going to ultimately win out. But maybe there's some talking about that going on. So for Monica, it's going to be interesting. I feel like she's not going to be one of the people that we're going to see a ton of in terms of the airtime, and at least from what I'm hearing from her, but we'll see what she has going on. If I had to say, I think she's a person who is making the merge, but I'm also a little bit worried for her that I think that maybe people could look at her and she has maybe a little bit of a Parvati vibe. And I wonder if people will also make that target bigger and worry about her more and see, okay, she played with Russell, she could be a Parvati, we don't know a lot about her, and maybe that's a thing where if they end up in a different grouping, where she could be somebody who, that's an easy vote to take her out as a pre-merge person. But if I had to say, I'll say that she is a merge person. John Johnston wants to know, Will Kimmy cause another argument if chickens are one? Yeah, I think that Kimmy's going to be fine with the chickens in terms of anything going on with winning chickens at any point. I think that she'll be okay. All right, so I don't know if we have a another Monica question, and Nicole is rejoining us. Nicole, what's going on?
Oh, nothing.
Nothing. Okay. All right. Well, welcome back, Nicole. And so we're talking about Monica Padilla.
So were you high on Monica?
I think I'm so on Monica. I don't think it's a I don't really see the story that is a particularly exciting where I see a Monica win this season.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any thoughts on Monica?
I think I agree. I mean, I'm glad she's there. She's pretty. But I wasn't all that blown away.
Okay. All right. Let's move on from Monica and let's take it to, here we go, Nicole, you ready for this?
Ready.
All right. It's time to talk about the great Stephen Fishback. Stephen Fishback is on Survivor, Nicole.
Fishbach.
Yes. And, this season we'll be wondering if
Stephen's the best. Know it all. Turns out love isn't that good at all.
I don't like that song.
Yeah. Okay, so Stephen Fishback is there, and boy, it is crazy that we're talking about Stephen Fishback on Survivor, and he returns with another target on his back, the label of the smart guy.
The smart guy, according to the Survivor Wiki?
According to the Survivor Wiki, but I think a lot of people have some concerns about Stephen. There seems to have a reputation that he's a particularly well-connected guy, but it appears to be a fallacy because Stephen is the well-connected guy, apparently among people that are not on this season.
Yeah, I don't think he's well-connected at all in this season.
He's well-connected with the wine and cheese crew. Unfortunately, none of the people that Stephen is connected to are on this season, which is a problem for Stephen.
I don't think many of these people drink wine or eat cheese.
You think you'd be surprised. All right, so Stephen really has his work cut out for him. And, you know, I was really starting to build a narrative over the summer where I was really starting to get myself, I was trying to talk myself into the best case scenario for Stephen. And I felt like that Stephen is out there, and I felt like that, you know, that some of the people that were really gunning for him, I felt like Shane Powers was somebody who was really going after Stephen. I felt like this was a good thing that Shane didn't get on the season.
Yes.
And I said, boy, I mean, who's really coming after Stephen? I know that, sure, he could have a target on his back, but if he could just get his, you know, get into it a little bit, and if nobody's coming for him, then I think that maybe Stephen could do some damage in this season. I wonder maybe if we're underrating Stephen's chances. But then when we start to look at these tribes, and then I got Andrew Savage talking about how Stephen is the number one target, not even like, oh, maybe I don't know if I want to keep Stephen around. He's like, oh, 100%, Stephen Fishback. Got to take him out.
Yeah,
that's tough to come back from. That's tough when you're the person that somebody really wants you out.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of people that come back from that. Parvati was able to get through it in Heroes versus Villains.
But he's just
one. And Micronesia.
Savage is just one person.
One person, but I think that he's on that first vote, Nicole, it's so huge because everybody's just like, I don't want to be the first person voted out. I don't want to be the first person voted out. And if Andrew Savage is like, I say we vote out Stephen Fishback.
Yeah.
And then everybody's like, okay,
great. Yeah, whatever you say.
Now, Stephen benefits from the fact that he's on the tribe with Cass.
Yeah.
So you would think that if there is a first vote, then hopefully for Stephen's sake, somebody's saying, hey, let's vote out Cass first. And I think Stephen might need to be that person like, hey, I say we vote out Cass.
But can Stephen?
Like, oh, great idea, Stephen.
You think Stephen can win over Savage? Stephen's a personable guy.
Well, I think that Stephen could win over Savage, but I worry because Savage seems very adamant that he will not be won over by Stephen. But you would think that they would have a lot in common. I mean, Savage is a lawyer. It's not like that, you know, Savage is like, you know, one of the Sons of Anarchy and they have like nothing in common. Like you would think that they would both be people on the white collar tribe of people that have a, you know, Savage is an intellectual guy. He's a lawyer. I mean, Stephen is some sort of an executive guy.
But what if they turn the tables and say, you know what? Savage is a threat. Let's get rid of him.
Well, who's, you got to give me names for
what
that.
What about the girls? The chicks stick together. Stephen leads this pack.
All right. So you're pitching me an alliance of Sierra, Cass, Kimmy.
Yes.
Tasha.
Yes.
Okay, they're just gonna all get together and.
What if they say, you know what, girl power? Let's get rid of these guys.
I'm a believer in girl power. I just don't know if these five women are going to unite for girl power.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like
Monica, she goes with the boys.
Yeah. So I worry a lot about Steven. If Steven, he
was very worried about Steven when Steven was gone. Like he would talk about it.
No, because
Rob's a good friend.
Do it. You know, would it be fun if Stephen Fishback is the first person? I'm sure we would get a lot of mileage out of that. I'm not gonna lie about that. I was recently asked, would you rather see Stephen win the game or be the first person kicked off?
And what'd you say?
I said I'd rather see Stephen win. While I believe he'd be insufferable as a winner.
Yes.
While I believe that it would get very, very old very, very quick, I would worry about Steven being the first. I wouldn't want him to be jaded about Survivor. We have so much fun talking about the show. I'd hate to see him have a very sour experience and be very jaded.
If Steven wins, is this going to make you want to play again so this way you can...
Oh, no. Then they'll never let me win then after Steven won. Like, oh, see, it's going to be another Steven thing if you let him play.
So it's better this if Steven doesn't win because it gives you a better shot at going back and winning.
Yeah, I think the best case scenario for me playing, Steven would go like middle of the road.
Yeah.
Like middle of the road. If he gets kicked off first, I'm like, oh, no, I'm not going to go on. Look what happened to Steven.
Yeah.
And then if he wins, people will be like, oh, we've got to make sure it's not another Steven thing happening. It's just like middle of the road right there.
Yeah.
That would be the ideal scenario for me.
So Steven, we're really not rooting for you.
we'd love to see him have a nice experience.
But not win.
Only because he'd be insufferable. That's really the only case. Maybe
he'd ruin your shot.
How about this? Winner's edit, but not actually winning. The best of both worlds, right?
With some Dodo music.
But for Steven, it's hard to, you know, I feel like the people that he would be allies with, I feel like are on the other tribe. I feel like Spencer would have been an ally. I feel like Shireen would have been an ally.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a Kelly Wentworth would be an ally.
But you think Tasha might be an ally for him?
Tasha's talking about in the pregame that she wants to target Steven.
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, Tasha. Hush.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know where. Maybe like Cass. I don't think Cass has anything against Steven. But if I'm Steven, you got to be throwing Cass under the bus.
Yeah.
Could be you.
Yeah.
So I don't. I mean, are Steven and Kimmy Kappenberg getting along?
Do you think the newer people are going to target Steven also because they know him from the show?
I think that Steven needs to team up with the new school.
Uh-huh.
I think that Steven.
You don't think they're mad at him?
I think they know him. I think that, if anything, I feel like old school is like, oh, he's too new school for us. We're targeting him. I think that Steven needs to team up with new school.
Yeah. But you don't think they're mad at him for like whatever he may have said on Know-It-Alls?
Who's mad at him from this group? Who are these people? Well, he's old school.
But yeah.
I mean, are these people that...
And for ridiculous reasons.
Are these new school people? I mean, who did he say anything about? Cass? Did he say anything about Cass? I mean, he was very pro-Spencer.
Uh-huh.
I think he was pro-Shireen. I don't think... What did he say about Kelly Wentworth? I mean, did he kill Wu? Did Wu listen? So I don't know if anybody that's out there is concerned with what he said.
Yeah. Okay.
Abby Maria, maybe? I don't know.
You think they would be concerned with what you said?
What did I say?
I'm sure you said a lot of things.
None of the people that really, at least so far, I don't think anybody that's on this cast has an issue with me. So far.
Until tonight.
Yeah. All right. So hold on. Let's do a couple Steven questions before we move on.
There's a lot of Steven questions.
All right. This is from Jen. Do you think that Steven aligning with the bigger targets or will he align with the numbers to vote out physical threats in the game early? I don't think that you should vote out physical threats in the game early. I think Steven should go wherever people aren't going to vote him off.
Whoever's going to take him.
Any port in a storm for Steven Fishbach. Yeah. Okay, Jeremiah Yap. Out of the three returning runners-up, who do you think has the best chance to make it to the end? Kelly Wigglesworth, Wu, or Steven? I think Kelly Wigglesworth.
Yeah.
I think Wigglesworth, Wu, Steven. I think those are the best odds to make it to the end again for a finalist. Mm. Okay?
If it's the theory that Kelly's there to play.
All right, and last question about Steven. John Johnson. What will Steven learn from Token Chain's winner from Tyson and JT? What will he learn from JT? Hopefully he learns not to be a lunatic in the second time he plays.
And write bestie notes.
Yeah. I don't think Steven needs to change a lot. I think
Steven has his finger on the pulse of what he needs to do.
Yeah, I think that Steven kind of I've liked a lot of what he said in the pregame. I did too. His game was fine the first time around. There's a couple minor things to tweak, but I think that he got to the end. His game was fine the first time around. I think that he needs a little more of, not going to the end with JT.
Yeah.
And also, doing something. I think he knows what he needs to do.
I think so too.
He knows what he needs to do. I think he's fine. If he overcorrects, I think that would be a mistake.
Yeah.
I just think he's got a really lousy draw right now with this Anders Savage.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be the first person out of the tribe. I think that's going to be Cass, but I think he could be the second person out of this tribe. Mm-hmm. I think that's possible.
Oh, no.
That's possible.
Things aren't looking up for Steven.
Not looking up for Steven, but we'll see. He's been in tougher situations than this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true, but he's got his work cut out for him.
I'm sure he has.
I'm sure at some point he has, but something.
He's successful.
All right, last person out of the 20, Nicole.
Yes.
Here is... Oh, I hit the wrong button. Sorry, let's talk about Tasha. It's Tasha Fox. Okay? Tasha Fox.
There she is.
Here, we're good. Tasha Fox is the person that we're going to talk about here. And Nicole, what's your take on Tasha Fox?
I like Tasha.
That's it?
But I like Tasha.
Yeah.
I think she's very hungry to play again.
Yeah, Tasha is ready to go. She's a fierce competitor. She is a woman who will stop at nothing, whether it's Survivor or Miss Survivor. She's somebody, she won 3 individual immunities, and she is ready to go here. And
she made a video, What Did the Fox Say?
Yes, she did. Now, here she is reunited with Cass on the same tribe, and we'll
see. That didn't go well the first time, right?
It did not go great the first time. It started out well on Luzon, but then after the merge, it was a bit of a problem after the Sarah Lacina felt like, or Cass felt like that Sarah was being coddled too much by Tasha, and Cass ended up flipping. And for Tasha, her and Cass were never able to get back on the same page.
Much like most of Cass's relationships.
Well, how toxic is that relationship coming into this season?
Can Tasha put that behind her? I'm sure Cass can.
Can Tasha put that behind her? Or is Tasha going to be leading the charge when, first time Bayon loses immunity, she's like, Cass, that's my Cass.
I could see that happening.
It's got to be Cass, as she's saying to people.
And Steven's going to be like, yes, it has to be Cass.
Well, Steven should also be leading that charge,
yeah,
because he should be anybody but me. So I think that is going to be something that is going to bear watching. In terms of other allies for Tasha, now, who else do you see her aligning with?
I could see her aligning with Sierra. They're both strategic players.
Yeah, I don't know. That's going to be a fun thing to watch. I mean, I don't see any reason why she couldn't get along with, say, Jeremy and Andrew and Keith. I feel like that she is a hard worker around the camp. I feel like from an age perspective, that she is, a lot of people think that Tasha is younger than she is, but she's actually 39, I believe.
I would not have guessed she's 39. She looks good.
So I feel like she should.
Not that 39's old.
I think that she should fit in. I mean, if anybody is going to be one of these people that is able to be with the old school people, I don't see any reason. I feel like her and Jeremy, I feel like we'll be able to get along well with Andrew and potentially some of these other old school players.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel somewhat good about Tasha.
I feel good about Tasha here.
Now, to me,
out of all the girls,
yes,
I definitely feel like Tasha's in the best position.
Now, I do think that there can be a little bit of a stubbornness in Tasha's game. And I think that sort of manifested itself with not voting for Tony at the end of the game. And I feel like that you want to maintain a flexibility at all times throughout this game in terms of your options. And I don't think it's a major thing, but I think that, it could be something that maybe is problematic. But overall, I feel pretty good on Tasha.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. And so
I think that this is her season to actually like not be the underdog.
Yeah, she was certainly she shared the underdog thing with Spencer, and it would be interesting to see if her and Spencer ever got to meet up back in the game. I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't think that that is going to happen because I don't know if Spencer's going to be around for that.
Yeah,
but I do think that she would not. That would be interesting to see if they would work together, or they would say we got to get rid of the other person because you're going to put too big of a target on my back.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's answer some Tasha questions. All right, this is from Jen, our best listener. The women on the Bayonne tribe have been pretty polarizing personalities. Do you see Tasha as the first, as the one female lasting the longest? Of these five women, do you see Tasha as the person who goes the longest?
Out of these five, I think Tasha has the best chance, but we've seen crazy things happen where, you know, people who don't really do anything make it further.
Yeah, I think for me, it's between Tasha or Sierra.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So then John Johnston, which Miss Survivor runner-up will go longer in the game? Okay, so Kelly or Tasha or Sierra, I guess, also another runner-up.
I think Tasha.
You think Tasha goes further than Kelly? I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think that's a safe bet. I don't, who knows? Christina, I'm getting more and more worried about Stephen Fishback. Yeah, we have.
Well, you should be.
It's hard to follow the pregame press and not be worried about Stephen Fishback. Mm. I think you'd really have to be wearing Bayonne colored glasses or God knows what Tony said Stephen had on his glasses to.
Was this at a sleepover? Otherwise.
Yeah, at a sleepover. And so, all right, Nicole, anything else on Tasha?
No, I think that's it.
All right. There we go. So let's go ahead and talk about, let's start to put a bow on
tally
all
the
of
votes
this.
For our winner.
Tally the votes, Nicole. All right. Next up, let's talk about who we're looking at as the winners of this season. Okay, Nicole, well, since I've already in my pre-season summer Periscope,
uh-huh.
I said Kelly Wigglesworth was my official pick that I locked in.
I think this whole Kelly Wigglesworth is so crazy.
Who's crazy? I'm crazy for saying Kelly Wigglesworth or Kelly Wigglesworth
like
is crazy?
Like which Kelly Wigglesworth is showing up? The one that doesn't care or the one that's like, F you, I'm playing, but I still don't care.
I don't care if she doesn't care about the TV show.
Yeah.
That was who I picked in the summer.
Yeah.
But let me give you my, now that I've read the pregame press.
Okay.
Let me give you my
pick. What if we have the same one, though? What do we do?
I don't think we have the same one.
Okay.
All right. So, going back and now watching all of this, I think the person who is the best combination of under the radar, but also knowing the game, who could be set up well, I'm going to say Sierra.
Really?
Yes.
You think Sierra is going to take it home?
I was very impressed watching her on Blood vs. Water.
Yeah, she played a very impressive game, but I think that she is such a target on her.
I don't think she's that big of a target on her. I agree there's a target, but I don't think it's a huge target.
No, there were a lot of people that mentioned her in their videos.
Yeah, but I think when push comes to shove, I don't think they're going to be gunning for her when there's so many targets out there.
That is true.
Everybody's a target.
I hope she goes far.
You
I
know,
think she's
12
a good
out
player.
Of these 20 people are targets.
Yeah.
So I'll say Sierra. I was very impressed with watching her on Blood vs. Water.
Okay.
All right, Nicole, give me your official pick.
My official pick is someone who I think was strong their first season.
Okay.
Is going to be strong this season. I'm hoping learned a few things.
All right. Is it a man or a woman?
It's a man.
Man?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm picking Jeremy.
Jeremy! Yeah. Wow. I
have high hopes for Jeremy. If you can keep your damn temper in check. But I know how that goes.
Yeah, I like the pick.
Yeah.
I like the pick. And
Don't let me down.
Yeah, I hope he can. That's a good pick.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. All right, so Nicole, that is going to do it for our preseason. Have we done over 3 hours on one of these before? I mean, this was a lot of people. This was 20 people.
No, we've never done 3 hours. I originally told the babysitter 2 hours.
Yeah.
We were an hour late.
How'd that all work out with the babysitter?
She was like running out the door. Like, bye, see you later. Dominic was covered in paint.
Oh, no. Oh,
I was
no.
like, you're going in bed, boy.
All right. All right. So those are our winter predictions. So much more coming up here in the next couple of weeks. I also, if you have any strong takes on what we had to say here tonight, I'm potentially going to go back and do some feedback on this. If you want to leave us a voicemail, robhasawebsite.com/voicemail. If I get some good calls and I want to, give you guys the opportunity to speak back on this, maybe I'll record something later on in the week. If you guys have some strong takes on this, robhasawebsite.com/voicemail. Also coming up later on this week, very excited for this, that Evolution of Strategy, Chapter 28, Survivor Kagyan. Spencer, Cass, Tasha, Wu, Tony, all the fixins. That's a really good chapter coming up of Evolution of Strategy this Friday. It's part of Volume 3. I believe it's about 13 hours on Survivor Kagyan. Everything you need to know to get the full scouting report on all these people playing in this game. 4 of them in this season. It's a really fun chapter. So much Tony voice.
lots of llama.
It's really, really fun. You could check that out. That's going to be dropping Friday at evolutionofstrategy.com. of course, the chapter that's just posted right now is Blood versus Water with Sierra and Vita, so you could hear what I liked so much about Sierra from rewatching.
You weren't so hot on Sierra that I think the first time you watched,
well,
but
then,
I think the second time.
That's why I go back and rewatch these
things.
Well,
that was my question. Is it, this, you know, watching it the second time, was that what did it for you?
Yeah, I was dismissive of Sierra the first time around.
I remember.
And that's why.
And it really upset Laura.
And that's why I think these people could be dismissive of her as well.
Yeah. Okay.
And now I was impressed now the second time around.
Okay.
And so you can check that out, evolutionstrategy.com. Of course, you can listen to all of Survivor Borneo, the first chapter, all 6 hours, completely for free anytime, evolutionofstrategy.com. All right, is there anything else that we need to talk about? We need a hashtag. Nicole, did you think of anything?
Why ask me? What's stupid?
Nicole, do you have a hashtag?
No, I don't.
You don't have anything?
I have nothing.
You don't have any suggestion?
Save Steven.
Well, you know, I was thinking, what about Spendulum?
Sounds dirty. I like it.
You like it?
Yeah.
How do you
spell that?
It's like pendulum with an S. It sounds less dirty than crotch framing.
Oh, I want that one. Crotch framing. And send pictures of crotch framing so I really get an
let's
idea.
Not,
no,
let's not say we did. All right. Nicole's on Twitter. She's at Nicole. She's, did I get this backwards the whole time? Did I have, did you, was your Twitter on the YouTube on me?
Oh, maybe I'll
backwards?
Get, maybe I'll get more followers.
Oh, no. Yeah, I hope. Oh, how embarrassing for me. All right. Thanks, everybody, who hung in there. I think that we didn't even lose that many viewers over the 3 hours. So really, the best people.
How many people do we have
in the entire world? Yeah, still like over 800 people in the chat room. So yeah. Very much appreciate that. Thanks to Scott St. Pierre, who went through all these questions. That's very much appreciated.
Yes.
Also appreciate everybody who uses our link for Amazon.com to do all their purchasing. That is always very much appreciated. robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. I'm so excited for this season. I really am. 2 weeks from tomorrow night, it all gets started. Don't forget Survivor Know-It-Alls live 9:45 p.m. Eastern after the finale. Whenever I think people will probably be listening to this all the way through going up to the finale. So if you're listening to it closer, don't forget 9:45 p.m. Eastern for the finale and then 12:30 p.m. Eastern for the coverage of the Big Brother finale.
Yeah. Do you think Steven's upset that he's not, he's being replaced on Know-It-Alls?
I don't think he's being replaced. I mean, Josh is taking, Josh is going to fill in for Steven, and Steven got to go be on Survivor. I think that Steven knew what the deal was.
I'm not saying he didn't, but I'm sure it hurts his heart a little bit to know that someone else is sitting in his chair.
Yeah. And we'll see if we let him come back next season. Cause from what I've been reading on the Survivor Wiki, Steven, not that trustworthy. So I don't know. I don't even know if I want him back after I read that.
Oh, Steven, see what you did?
Sullied his good name on the Survivor Wiki.
See what you did.
All right. Thanks so much, everybody. This was a lot of fun tonight. I'm going to go have a lozenge. And then we'll be back with more podcasts. Big Brother, Wednesday night, Andy Heron will be live after the next eviction.
When is that over?
September 23rd.
My goodness.
All right, everybody, have a great night, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.